using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Thursday, the 26th of August, year of our Lord, 2021, day 530 of America Held Hostage. And as I talk about the clock striking 13, of course, that's a reference to the beginning of George Orwell's 1984, and the fact that everything in a totalitarian society is a lie. So today we're going to take a look at the FDA's authorization. A lot of people who have contacted me saying that it's not a legitimate authorization. So we're going to take a look at the details of that. We're going to take a look at the lies surrounding Afghanistan. We can't even end the war without betraying people and lying about everything that is happening there. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Just when you thought that all of the phony incentives were over, we see a new one. This coming out of a jail in Washington State. If you get the jab, you can get 10 free ramen noodle soups. I got to say, this is the cheesiest one I've seen. I don't know if it got any cheese in these things or not. But I mean, how pathetic is that? Ramen noodles, known for being what college students live off of in the dorms if they don't have any money back in the day when we were going through that. But to me, it also is indicative, I think, as a metaphor. You know, in the Bible, Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of porridge or soup or whatever. So we've just updated it. You know, history repeats itself. It kind of rhymes. Now it's ramen noodles. What are they going to take from you next and give you absolutely nothing in return? Because, you know, the bottom line is these people are still prisoners, aren't they? And the people who have surrendered to these dictates and established that precedent, and that's what I want to focus on, too, because we've talked about the health issues, and we can continue to talk about that, and we will talk about that. But the bottom line is, I've said many times, even if I was convinced that it was 100% safe and effective, I would not take these because of the precedent that it sets. When are they going to stop demanding these things of you to live your life? I mean, we've never seen anything. This is absolutely unprecedented in the history of America that the government would say, do this or you will have nothing. Go nowhere. Do anything. You will not buy, you will not sell, you will not travel, you will not get education, you'll do nothing. You won't get medical treatment, you won't get an organ transplant, whatever. Fill in the blank. And isn't it significant, and I think it is, that we first saw this type of incremental approach nudging us towards this, and of course it was Cass Sunstein's book, Nudge, talking about how you gradually manipulate people psychologically into where you want them to go. That's why I think it's a very important interview we had yesterday with Dr. Mark McDonald, the psychologist, talking about adults, but especially about children and how they have been harmed psychologically, not just physiologically, with these masks, what it has done to them, because they are the canaries in the coal mine. It happens much more quickly with the young than it does with us, but it's happening to everybody. We've seen it in society, we've seen it in the towns where we live, we've seen it even in the small businesses. Like I pointed out to him, when all this stuff started, there were some small businesses that bought into the mask mandates immediately. No, you will wear that to walk 5 feet to set the table. But the vast majority of them didn't until they had lived under this for only about 5-6 months. And of course, Abbott left it on for 9 months. So when we look at what we get on the other end of this, of course, you know, depending on how it doesn't matter how long you're going to be in the jail, they're going to give you those 10 free ramen noodles. Isn't that great? An effective way to encourage inmates to get the COVID-19 vaccine. We're all prisoners. We're all inmates in this situation, and we're not going to get out because we get the vaccine. They're still putting masks on people who got the vaccine. They're still prisoners. And if we're going to allow this precedent to be set, and again, it goes back, I think, notice how they started using corporations even more overtly to control and to manipulate us and started pulling them into the takeover of healthcare with Obamacare. For the first time, you had a situation where you were forced to buy a product from a private company with Obamacare. That was the unconstitutional principle. They came up with a prevarication and they've of saying, well, it's a tax. Just think of it as a tax. No, think of it as corporate fascism with a P in front for Pfizer. P in front of the fascism. So they're gradually moving us in this way. They're gradually taking over healthcare because they know that healthcare is one of those things that they can put out there in the name of compassion in order to hold a sort of Damocles over our head and make us comply. They can restrict it from you if you don't do everything that they say. And that's now what we're seeing with these vaccine mandates. So it really is about the political aspect of this, and the FDA authorization is completely political. If you look at the fact that we're not going to get out of prison, for example, we've now had the governor of Oregon, as briefly mentioned yesterday, has now reinstituted outdoor mask mandates. So now Oregon is the only state to have outdoor mask mandates. There's only a few states that have indoor mask mandates, but Kate Brown went the extra mile, literally, mandated masks outdoors. And not only that, but there's no distinction whether you're vaccinated or not. That's what I'm saying. You start out with these people in prison. You want to get vaccinated? I'll give you some ramen noodles, but you're still going to be in prison. And that's the situation in Oregon as well. You want to get vaccinated? Fine. You're still going to wear a mask, and you're still going to do it outdoors, and we don't care if you're vaccinated or not. And she is sending out 1,500 National Guard troops to hospitals around the state. This is happening in a lot of different places, and I'll talk about that in a moment, what is really behind that. And we had, was it a week or two ago, where everybody was talking about the Tennessee Governor Bill Lee and his executive order number 83. I gave you my take on that, and so I'm going to go back to that and tell you how I think that fits into what we're seeing done now in Georgia with the National Guard being sent to hospitals. Here in Oregon, with the National Guard being sent to hospitals, we have, though, the issue that has come up with Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of the mRNA, as well as with many other sites, Children's Health Defense Fund and others, saying the FDA is playing bait and switch with Americans on this authorization. And I think it's important to talk about this because the analysis from Children's Health Defense offers a possible tool to delay this because of the legal dotted I's and crossed T's and so forth. And it is there is a little bit of wiggle room there. But I got to say that you got to get to the root of the cause. Because even if we move against this, it's just like saying, well, it's emergency use authorization, so you can't make us take it. Well, they can do something about that pretty quickly, can't they? Just produce a piece of paper with their official seal on it, and you're done. How much effort does that take? If we don't get to the root cause of this, we're not going to stop it. So I'll talk about this because it is a delaying tactic, but this is not a way to defeat what they're doing. Not at all. You're going to have to get to the root cause of this, which means that you're going to have to get past your partisan blinders. Most of the Republicans are on the side of the Democrats with this. Trump was on the side of the Democrats and the globalists on this. So get rid of your Trump cheerleading stuff. Take off your knee pads, Alex. because this is something we got to focus on, and the rest of the people who are like him, except they just want the money. Just want the money. So the FDA has violated its own rules, and that's the bottom line. That's what I said on day one. They violated their own rules. They have rules where they have to go through a period of time to evaluate this before they can say that it is authorized. That's their rule, done for safety. How many times have you seen the FDA, when people complain about the fact that they drag their feet on some kind of a cancer treatment, for example, for terminally ill people? They say, you won't let us get access to this, and you're only letting a few people have access to this drug, and the rest of us are going to die anyway, so let us try this in a larger experiment. And the FDA will say, no, we have our rules. We can't do that. We can only allow certain people in. And yet they just sweep all this stuff aside. If you have more people in your trial, just repeat this again, a bigger trial for a very short period of time is not a long-term test. It's a bigger short-term test. Is that so hard to understand? I mean, we just need to get in the face of Washington Post and all these people trolling anyone who has concern about this experiment and being a guinea pig. We just need to shout to them, a bigger short-term test is still a short-term test. The only way you're going to have a long-term test is to have time, and we have destroyed the control group. So as far as safety and efficacy goes, you're not ever going to have an answer with this, because they destroyed the control group after a couple of few weeks. They said, well, you know, this is so dangerous, we're just going to give all you people who had the placebo, we're going to give you the vaccine anyway. So they don't have any way they can do the test. They have violated all of this. And so we need to focus on the fact that the Constitution's been violated, our rights have been violated, which transcend, actually, the Constitution. We've had the law violated. The regulatory agencies have violated their own regulations. We need to focus on that. We need to focus on the corruption and the payoff. But let's talk a little bit about this. The issue involved here is the fact that they reference in this FDA letter a vaccine product called Comirnaty. Now, Comirnaty is, just to go back and give you an idea, you know, when you have drugs, you have a generic name, for example, glyphosate, and then you also have a brand name, Roundup. Okay, now, other companies could put glyphosate in their products. And typically what the drug companies do, they always have a couple of bizarre names for their products. They have a regular term, and you know, they give a name to the product, and then they put a brand name on it as well. And then after the patent expires, you will see them selling it under the original name. And so if you go back to December 23rd of 2020, that's when the press was first talking about this new vaccine brand name, Comirnaty. And what they were pointing out was, they said, well, they made up this new term. It's a compilation. When they make up these words, they tried to throw in COVID and immunity and mRNA and community and all these different things. So they came up with Comirnaty. And Comirnaty, they reported back in December, was officially approved by the Swiss and European regulators as the non-proprietary tozinemarin. See, tozinemarin is the name of the generic drug, and then the brand name is Comirnaty. So the non-proprietary tozinemarin has been approved by the WHO, while the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine has been approved for emergency use in the U.S. The brand name, Comirnaty, awaits FDA approval. So that's what it is. It's the brand name for this. That's why they're saying there is no technical, you know, there's no difference in its formula or the way it's prepared. But they do point out there is a legal difference. And that's what we're going to focus on here, the legal difference. Because the first thing that I look at is, here we are 9 months later. The FDA has approved the vaccine, but not the brand name. What is up with that? So I said, the brand name of Comirnaty, which is approved in Swiss and European regulators, has not been approved by the FDA. But now, 9 months later, they just approved the whole thing, but still not the name. So they have this authorization. So there is something else that is going on here. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there is some trickery going on, as always. The government is always prevaricating around the bush. The government is always using semantics and terminology to deceive people. And that is what is happening here. So how can we use that is the bottom line. As the Children's Health Defense Fund points out, there are two critical facts that affect whether or not the vaccine can be mandated and whether or not Pfizer can be held liable for injuries. And so they point out that the FDA acknowledges that while Pfizer has insufficient stocks of the newly licensed Comirnaty vaccine available, there is significant amount of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine produced under the emergency use authorization that is still available for use. So part of this is trying to get you to buy this. Part of it is trying to push this onto younger kids. The FDA pointed out that the licensed Pfizer Comirnaty vaccine and the existing emergency use authorization Pfizer vaccines were legally distinct, but that there is no difference in terms of its formulation, manufacture, safety, or effectiveness, is what the FDA said. But there is a big real-world difference between the two products because of this legal issue. So what they say is, if you are getting a vaccine, they want to try to force you to get this vaccine, you say, show me the label. Show me the label, Jerry. Show me the label. Does it say Comirnaty? Most likely it won't, because they don't have much of that stuff. It'll probably say BioNTech Pfizer. And in that case, you can say, well, that's still under emergency use authorization. You don't have the authority to push that on me. The licensed adult vaccines do not. And so then the other part of it is for them, if they do pull out a Comirnaty, if it's licensed, and if it's for adults, remember the what Children's Health Defense Fund is saying is that this vaccine court and all that stuff that was set up in 1986 by Fauci because they wanted to force vaccines on our children. And they wanted to do it as part of school, and they've been adding these things to school requirements just like they've been adding them to the military all this time. And so they wanted to hold the vaccine companies harmless for this legally, especially because vaccine side effects show up more quickly in children. And you're more likely to damage children because their bodies are rapidly developing and are at early stage of development and all these different things. So they gave them legal immunity for vaccinating kids. For adults, they don't have that legal immunity, according to Children's Health Defense. Licensed adult vaccines do not enjoy the liability shield. Just like Ford's Exploding Pinto or Monsanto's Roundup, people injured by the Comirnaty vaccine could potentially sue for damages. Well, I disagree with them on this because they have said that this is part of a pandemic. They dotted those I's and crossed those T's even before Trump released the money, even before he jumped in with his executive order giving them legal authority to act as tyrants and dictators, public health officials and governors. So I don't think that that's going to work, because with them calling this an emergency and a pandemic, regardless of whether it is, and I don't believe it's a pandemic either, but that's what they're maintaining. And if they call it a pandemic, under George W. Bush, they passed this other law for compensation that is a liability protection. Now, it may be that that is compensation for you. This may be what I don't understand. It may be that under those new rules, if you want to get compensation, you would go to the government. I don't know, though, why they would have that there if they're not going to hold the companies harmless. And I would believe the companies have been held harmless. And they did a follow-up with that even later. They called it the Eli Lilly rider. They called it the Lilly rider. which gave companies protection if they rushed something to market that was not a vaccine, that was a therapeutic. And Eli Lilly was one of the most powerful, in terms of political influence, the most powerful of the pharmaceutical cartel in Washington. That's why when they wanted to get Trump under control, they sent him a lot of money and had him appoint Alex Azar, CEO of Eli Lilly, to HHS, because Eli Lilly has gotten a lot of money. So I think from what was done in the mid-2000s with George W. Bush, because they called a pandemic, you now have legal immunity for these companies for both vaccines and for therapeutics. I'm not saying, not trying to discourage anybody from taking any legal action or trying to push back against this. I'm just saying, first of all, these people are liars, and we've got to call them out on their lies. We've got to attack them at the fundamental level, and that is about our God-given liberties, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and then we start going up the line to the laws and regulations. But we've got to get them at the base deception of all of this. And I'm not saying that we need to, you know, there's two different aspects of this. There's a medical aspect of it, and then there's a legal and constitutional aspect of it. Even if you buy into the what I believe are lies about the safety and efficacy, and I've talked about this over and over again. You know that if you listen to me. You know that I don't think it's safe or effective. But it's also not constitutional. It's also a very, very dangerous legal precedent. Some people have had the good sense who trusted these pharmaceutical companies. They still had the good sense to say, I don't want to see these vaccine passports, and I'm not going to support this. So the bottom line from Children's Health Defense Fund is, Pfizer is unlikely to allow any American to take a Comirnaty vaccine until it can somehow arrange immunity for this product. So what they're saying is, we think that since they have legal exposure to this, and again, I'm not sure that they do, that they will not introduce it into the United States, which means then that when somebody comes to you with a vaccine and it doesn't have Comirnaty on the label, you can say, that's still an emergency use authorization drug. That is not approved by the FDA. So as Children's Health Defense Fund is pointing out, that may be a possible pushback against this. They, on the other hand, are still pushing back against the FDA's quote-unquote authorization anyway. We need to push back on all these different areas. I'm not discouraging anybody from pushing back on anything. I'm just saying these people have used one lie after the other, whether it's lies about the number of cases and statistics, how deadly this thing is, counting people who are who died with COVID as dying from COVID, saying if you die within 30 days, you died from it if you had a positive PCR test. But as I put up yesterday and had several hundred retweets, a picture of the actual pronouncement from the CDC saying, we're not going to count the deaths of people who die less than 14 days as a vaccinated death. Not going to count it. So all these people who have, and that's a large number of people, who have died before 2 weeks are out, 2 weeks are out, before 14 days. A lot of them died within 48 hours of getting the shot, the people who reported into VAERS. Again, I'll point out that in 1976, with the swine flu vaccine, they stopped it after 50 deaths. We've had more than 50 deaths that I've reported of people dying within less than 48 hours. But, of course, those don't count from the vaccine because it didn't go for 14 days. And, of course, it's on VAERS. And if you've got somebody who can put some garbage in there, well, then that one curated case that they pull out, well, that means the whole database is discredited. Well, I would say then the whole database of the CDC is discredited and everything else that they do. They try to cherry-pick this stuff, and they throw in false details to keep you from seeing what's happening. So the Children's Health Defense Fund says the FDA appears to be purposely tricking American citizens into giving up their right to refuse an experimental product. Well, they're trying to trick us into giving up our rights in any number of ways, and that's the bottom line. We must not give up our rights in any way, shape, or form. We must not be ruled by a public health dictatorship. And so, when they talk about it being legally distinct but the same formula, it comes down to the labels. It really does. And so you can use those same kind of legal things there to delay it, but it's not going to stop it. They can just change that with a stroke of a pen. So let's take a look at where we are right now. Montana is the only state to ban vaccine requirements for employment. Let me repeat that. The only state that does that is Montana. So we can talk about all the virtue signaling being done by people like DeSantis and Abbott. And DeSantis has done some things, and he has pushed against some of these mandates in public places. He's gone to war with the teachers' unions who are trying to mandate masks and other things. But when it comes to corporations making this a requirement for employment, the only state that has done anything about that is Montana. And, you know, when we started seeing the mandates that were being prohibited for masks and other things like that, here in Texas, they had prohibitions up. They said, well, as long as it is labeled by the FDA as emergency use authorization, we're not going to allow state entities to do this. But, of course, there was nothing in there that stopped any corporations from doing that. So you had the Houston Methodist Hospital, had the situation where they had 170 different medical staff. So we're not going to get the vaccine. They fired them. They took it to court. The judge just threw it out. Not even going to listen to it. Just like the election stuff. That's where we are. And Abbott did nothing about it either. The Republicans did nothing about it either. By the way, when we talk about the rest of the Republicans, I think one of the reasons that this is happening now, and I had predicted that all this stuff would be happening in the fall, predicted it last year. I said, you're going to go through a period of time where they're going to be putting it out there for the low-hanging fruit, and they're going to slow walk it at the beginning. They're not going to have a lot of inventory, but they're going to kind of slow walk it at the beginning. And then they're gradually going to do more and more, and they're going to build it up with a big propaganda campaign, and then they're going to give people incentives. And then they're going to start on the demonization of people who don't get it. And saying, well, you know, you've got all the vaccines. There's absolutely no reason for you not to do it, and you are the threat to us. And I said, and then once the cases start to pick up again, the only difference is I thought the cases would be the cases that started to pick up with cold and flu and RSV in the fall. But, of course, we started seeing after only 6 months a big uptick in people getting sick, in my opinion, from the vaccine itself. They're calling it breakthrough cases. They're calling it Delta variants. That's all nonsense. First of all, the vaccine doesn't work. Secondly, it's making people very sick, and you can see this in the trends. And you can see that that's the case in the countries that have had more vaccines. And so as that was starting to pick up again, they did blame the unvaccinated for it. And I said, but it's going to. They're going to authorize this around the fall so they can push it on the kids. And then the employers will jump in. And they'll give it some more time. You know, probably after this winter and after they go absolutely crazy on us this winter. At that point, you'll probably have Biden and some other entities, Democrat entities, will be testing the water to mandate it for everybody. They will go there at that point because psychologically, the vast amount of the public will be prepared for that psychologically to fight with us, to go to war with us. Just as they want to force us to wear masks, they will force us to take the vaccine. So when you look at this, in Texas, they would only do it for the people that they controlled. In terms of masks or vaccine mandates, well, you're not going to do it if you're a government entity. But if you're a private hospital or a private company, you can do whatever you want. And I said, that's not going to work. And Florida, they went a little bit further. And DeSantis said, you're not going to deny service to somebody for something that is your public business. You're not going to kick people out. That's how he got into the fight with the cruise ships there. But, of course, cruise ships are taking off from Texas all the time because Abbott doesn't have a problem with that. So he's just virtue signaling to his base. Oh, yeah, I'm going to protect you from the mandates. He didn't do anything to protect anybody. And now that the emergency use authorization label has been changed by the FDA, you're going to have nothing at all is going to be done even for the state employees. And they're already moving on that very rapidly. State and local governments are already moving to impose vaccine mandates here in Texas. So it was a temporary head fake from Abbott, and now it's absolutely nothing at all. In Florida, you had DeSantis fighting with the cruise ships, fighting with the CDC, fighting with the teachers, and good for him. He should be congratulated for doing that. However, they did not do anything in Florida to protect you from employer mandates. So the only state that's done that so far is Montana. And under a new law passed by the Republican-controlled legislature earlier this year, requiring vaccines as a condition for employment in Montana is deemed to be discrimination and a violation of the state's human rights laws. Montana is the only state in the U.S. with a law like this for private employers, said the executive director of the National Academy for State Health Policy. The law was signed by Governor Greg Gianforte in May. Gianforte gave the bill the green light after changing it to allow health care facilities to require unvaccinated workers and those who refuse to disclose their vaccination status to wear masks and take other precautions. So they can still punish you, but they can't fire you. And he put the punishment clause in there, so just remember that. But at least he signed it. You got a lot of Republican governors like DeWine and Asa Hutchinson and others like that who are openly hostile to any liberty in regards to health care. While the governor continues to encourage Montanans to receive safe and effective vaccines, said a spokesperson of the governor, doing so is voluntary, and no individual should face discrimination based on vaccination status. Hospitals in Montana until recently required their employers to get most vaccines approved by the CDC, including the annual flu shot, providing an avenue for employees to opt out for medical or religious reasons. But now that is no longer possible. And that's really what we should be doing. Instead of the argument that we've had for a long time, well, we require all kinds of vaccines for the military, and we require all kinds of vaccines for schools. We require the MMR vaccine even, as Trump jumped in on that. They've got to get the shots. What we should be doing is going in the opposite direction and saying, well, those used to not be required, and we're going to remove those requirements. That's what they did in Montana. Once you realize what criminals this big pharmaceutical cartel operating in conjunction with the FDA and the CDC and the NIH, once you understand that this is crony capitalism, corruption, and greed, it's totally dishonest and rigged, once you understand that, you ought to stop all of these vaccine mandates. So that's the approach we ought to take. Instead of getting all defensive about it and confused when the Democrats say, well, you require MMR vaccines for kids to go to school, we should say, I never supported that, and I think we ought to get rid of it. And so Chris Minahan, reporting this, says, why haven't other states with GOP-controlled legislatures and governors passed similar laws? And that's what you should be asking. You should be asking your Republican legislature here in Texas or your Republican governor here in Texas and every other one of these, why aren't you doing this? Instead, what you see are Republican Governor Brian Kemp in Georgia deploying National Guard to hospitals across the state. Why are they doing that? Well, we'd seen just a couple of days ago, and I didn't get to this at the time, they were talking about a massive nursing shortage. Excuse me. That was coming out of the Atlanta Journal and Constitution. Why do they have a nursing shortage? Because they're firing nurses who will not get the vaccine. And they knew this was going to happen. I said, when we were talking about the executive order number 83 by Bill Lee out of Tennessee, we had all these people saying, look at this, they're creating prison camps and so forth. I read it, and I read it to you, and I said, if you look at it, point after point after point, what they're doing is they're waiving requirements for people to come in and work as medical staff. And I said, there's nothing in here. We should be concerned about the document that came out in July of 2020, a year and a month ago. We should be concerned about the Green Zone document that came out from the CDC, but that's laid out everything that these people need. You should pay attention to that. I talked about that a while back as well. But that is a very dangerous document, and that is about setting up prison camps and so forth. But the order that came out by Lee in Tennessee was not about that. It was about waiving all these requirements and letting people who had not finished their medical education, who were still students, or people who were retired and let their licenses expire and so forth, allowing them to come back in. And I said, what's concerning about this is that they're getting ready to ramp all this stuff up again. But it's also really about the fact that they knew that this quote-unquote authorization was coming and that they would be requiring this as condition, and you'd have a lot of nurses who would walk, and so they're saying, well, we're going to bring in National Guard, we're going to bring in students, we're going to bring in retired people back because we're going to have to fill those slots of people who would not take the vaccine. That's what that's really about. That's what the Georgia governor is doing. That's what the Tennessee governor is doing, both of them Republicans. So they're coming after, think about this, they're coming after all the first responders, they're coming after the military, they're coming after the police, the firefighters, the nurses, the doctors. All these people that they say were heroes, they've defended us and we honor them and so forth, they're the first ones up against the wall to get shot with a, in this particular case, a genetic code injection. Now, San Francisco is going to be getting rid of cops and firefighters that they didn't want anyway, right? They're going to use this to get rid of them. And so they knew that they were going to be purging people out of the system. They knew they were going to have staffing shortages. And when you see, as I've had a emergency technician, EMS technician, or I don't know if it's technician, he's EMS. I'm not sure exactly what his situation is there, but he's given me reports from hospitals, and he's been doing it for quite a while. And what he was saying was that and as he was looking at what was happening in the emergency room, he said people are coming in, they're scared to death, they're putting them in the emergency room, but they don't even have enough beds to handle everybody. It's not that they don't have sufficient beds, they don't have the nurses to staff. And so that's why you're having a problem. So it's based on fear, and it's based on nurses that have been purged out of the system, nurses who worked for a year and a half without a vaccine, and now they can't do that. So as you see this happening in the story in Georgia from WSB-TV talking about this, of course, they say governor is going to have to deploy National Guard troops to hospitals across the state because it's an emergency. They don't have enough nurses to handle everybody. They don't ever say that it's because the nurses are leaving. They blame it on the unvaccinated. From our standpoint, the biggest contributor is the spread of the virus is the unvaccinated population in the community. And so the TV person who interviews him says, well, that has to be frustrating, doesn't it? Oh, yes. Because it's so self-inflicted, just as I said yesterday when I read the Babylon Bee story. I said, look at that, you know, satire. Well, you expect me to treat somebody who's been in an automobile accident who didn't wear their seatbelt? I'm not doing that. And, you know, we could extend that to say, you got somebody here who had an attempted suicide? I'm not going to treat that person. He's saying, well, it's self-inflicted, so we don't give them any treatment. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to deny treatment to you. That's why we need to have a separate medical system. Trudeau, interestingly enough, in Canada, is going to try to make this an issue. He's actually going to run on vaccine mandates. He's actually going to run on vaccine mandates. That's how bad it is in Canada. And this is, if you're going to run on a platform of mandates and taking over people's, even their personal health care, locking the country down in a kind of pre-pandemic, pre-crime quarantine, if you're going to do that, and if he wins in Canada, this is the end of Canada. If the people will vote for that, and he thinks they will. And the Wall Street Journal thinks that he will win on this. August 13th He banned people from boarding any plane, train, or cruise ship in Canada unless fully vaccinated. They've also compelled 300,000 federal employees to get the shots. 2 days later, he called elections to Canada's Parliament for September 20th because surveys show strong public support for vaccine mandates in Canada. Except among his conservative opponents, and it says they are divided. So the Liberals and the Democrats are 100% united on this. And the Conservatives are divided. The Conservatives are divided in Canada. The Conservatives are divided here. They're divided in Australia. They're divided in the UK. And they're not equally divided. Conservatives who support the rule of law, the Constitution, or basic charter of rights, whatever they call it in these individual countries, they are in the minority everywhere. And I'm telling you, if Canada votes for this, this is a beginning of a dictatorship. It is the end of any kind of constitutional republic or democratic republic at all. It's just beginning of martial law forever. California, same thing is happening there. California is, Newsom in this election, is running a campaign of fear. We all might die if Newsom doesn't get is kicked out. It's a matter of life and death. What's at stake in the September 14th recall, says the ad? It's a matter of life and death. Now, they're not talking about climate change. They've always said that type of thing. Oh, yeah, you either take away everybody's food and air conditioning and cars and you name it, make them live like poor peasants, or we're all going to die. Of course, that's not true, but if it were true, I'm not sure exactly which way I would go on that. I think I would still keep all those things because you're dead already if you give up everything to these globalists. But Larry Elder has caved on climate change. He used to oppose it, but he didn't want to fight that right now. And I'm not going to say that's 4D chess. It's capitulation. It's vacillation, and it's not to be excused. It's inexcusable. He knows better, so it's just pandering, and that's a concerning thing. However, he's been very, very clear about the quarantine rules, the lockdown rules, the masks, the vaccines, and so forth, and so that's what they're talking about. And so not only is this election in Canada a referendum on whether or not you're going to have any personal autonomy, any personal liberty, any informed consent in medical care, it's also on the ballot in California. And they're putting it on the ballot in these authoritarian liberal areas because they think they can win and use that to nudge all of us in that direction. See, everybody wanted to live like slaves, to live like cattle, to be vaccinated like cattle. The ad argues a Republican recall frontrunner Larry Elder, they don't use his name, but they show his picture, would get rid of mask and vaccine mandates on day one. Which he said he would. This is a Reason article here. The ad seems to be trying to frighten apathetic Democrats into voting to protect Newsom because of his importance in fighting the pandemic. But the oppressive mandates that were not tied to the scientific understanding of COVID and his own flouting of his own guidelines means that his credibility has taken a hit. If Newsom hadn't made a mockery of his own lockdown demands by having a fancy dinner at French Laundry with lobbyists, would Republicans have even gotten the signatures for a recall? Beyond the comically extreme fear-mongering, and that's exactly what this is, there's other issues that they talk about, which I'm really not interested in. It's really just the issue of making this about life and death. And it is about life and death. It's about your life and death. It's about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To define your life as you see fit to do it. It is about the most fundamental aspects of society. It's about the rule of law as well. And so all those things are on the ballot because they think that they have now nudged everybody with fear to jettison those things. And the Pentagon, they're telling troops they must get the COVID vaccines ASAP, says the AP. Others quote them as saying immediately. Immediately. Impose, quote, impose ambitious timelines for implementation. said Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Roughly 800,000 active duty National Guard and ready reserve troops have yet to get the COVID vaccine. And so it remains to be seen whether religious exemptions will go through or any of the rest of it. The religious exemptions granted by military service based on their policies, it appears to be relatively rare. And that was what the serviceman who wrote me was saying. Talked to a chaplain, and it was a meeting that was set up with chaplains because they knew that that was about the last legal loophole. You know, once they claim that the FDA has given full authorization to this, and again, if the FDA gave authorization, this is what I said day one, if they gave authorization, they violated all the rules. It, regardless of all this stuff about whether it's Comirnaty or whether it's the Pfizer vaccine, they just simply violated the rules. They did not run the test. They did not run the phase three test at all. Not at all. So that's the fundamental issue. But once they rubber stamped it with that, the Pentagon and Biden had already announced they were going to do it. That's why we knew it would be sometime before September the 15th. We knew that they were leaning on them to do that. And so we knew that they would run with this. And so running with that, they knew that the next step that soldiers would use would be the religious exemption. So they called the meeting of all the different chaplains, and they told them to slow walk this stuff. And that's why the person who wrote me said, what we need to do, if we're in the military, we all need to do this at once and call their bluff on this to see if they really are up to kicking out 10-20%, because they came up with 10% because the chaplain said, well, I think roughly half of the people are worried about it from health reasons and just going to dismiss that. Maybe half of those people, it's religious issues. And so if we stand on that, that's only still about 10% of the force. Will they get rid of 10% of the people? Well, they knew that they were going to do this. And so you've already, as I said, had governors who were setting up to bring in the National Guard to take the places of nurses, whether or not they are trained that way or not. And whether or not they have people who are trained. I'm not so sure that Biden wants a ready military. See, that's the other part of this. It's just like the schools don't want to teach kids. They don't want to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're trying to deliberately dumb them down. The Biden administration is trying to destroy this country, and that includes military and military readiness. Navy and Marine Corps say they have zero religious exemption requests for other vaccines in recent years. The Air Force said they've only had a few. The Army did not provide any data. So bottom line is, it's going to be kind of up to you. Are you going to get any approval from them for the Constitution, for your life, liberty, your pursuit of your property? Of course you're not. I don't think. But again, I think we ought to all stand together as much as we can against this. Delta Airlines is raising its health insurance premiums for unvaccinated employees by $200 a month. They're going to put a surcharge, a monthly surcharge of $200. So they're going to cut your pay by $200 a month. The justification for this is that they've had to pay $50,000 per person for an average hospital stay for COVID-19. Like I said, it's a financially incentivized medical malpractice. Put people on the ventilators. You know, you get a $13,000 right up front. If you get a positive test, you get a 20-25% bonus on every treatment that you do to them. So if they come in with a broken leg, first thing you do is you give them a PCR test. And now we bumped it up by 25% and send the bill to the insurance companies and get bonuses directly from the government. So they're looking at this, and instead of, you know, of course, all of this is due to unvaccinated people, according to Delta. COVID pay protection will also only be provided to fully vaccinated individuals. So if the vaccine doesn't work, and the vaccine doesn't work, or if it makes you ill in any way or the other, they're going to give you some sick pay if you are sick from the vaccine. But if you're sick from anything else, they will not give that to you. In fact, they'll raise your insurance rates. Gab, and I'll just mention this again because even though I mentioned it twice yesterday, I know that people tune in at different times. It's a long program. It's 3 hours long. Some people don't listen every single day. So I have to kind of walk a fine line when it's something important between repetition and reinforcement. I just want to reinforce the fact that Gab has a brand new job board to help you to find employees or to help you find a job if you're unvaccinated. And not only that, but when I went there and looked at it, it was good because Andrew Torba was saying, oh, and there's another site over here and another one over here. So he's putting out links to other places as well where you can find job listings on other websites. So he's not trying to just take over everything. He's really actually, I think, trying to help people. And this is a great way for us to do this. And if you do have some local job site clearance that is along those lines that is going to help people who are unvaccinated losing their jobs, you know, you can put that on Gab as well. It's the No Vax Mandate Job Board at gab.com. And it says, is your current employer forcing you to inject a foreign substance into your body in order to retain work? Asked Andrew Torba. Are you a business owner who doesn't do this and is looking to hire? Join the No Vax Mandate Job Board on Gab. By the way, you know, we've had a lot of people, most businesses have staffing shortages right now because Biden has financially incentivized people not to work, unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And so if you're having staffing shortages, you may want to look at some of the best and most informed people who are going to be looking for a job. And so you might want to advertise there. It's one way to get around your staffing shortages. This job board is for sharing job openings that do not require employees to inject themselves an experimental substance or to violate their bodily autonomy and their religious beliefs in order to retain employment. This is a board for job seekers to share their resume, skills, and their story. And I'll just say again that any employer who doesn't have respect for you in that regard, there's not anybody who's going to have any respect for you to keep you on either. They're not going to have any loyalty to you. They'll fire you for any reason or no reason at all. And you'll still have the vaccine. So think about that. At Gab, we do not require employees to be vaccinated. In fact, we don't pry into any of the personal health choices of our team because, frankly, it's none of our business. We know there are many businesses who share these values with us and many people who are looking to work for those businesses. And here's some of the comments that were collected by WND. They reported on it yesterday. LifeSite News reported on it yesterday. Some of the comments that WND had. I've been in healthcare for 30 years, writes one person. DME, respiratory, sleep disorders. I need a new job due to a mandate. Here's another one. I was fired because of Hobby Lobby's vaxxed versus unvaxxed segregation policy. Hobby Lobby, which has always been identified as a Christian corporation. Hobby Lobby that fought against the Obamacare mandates is now pushing in mandates, apparently, for vaccination. Without exemptions, my husband will be let go October the 29th. He has 26 years with the same company. He is a mechanical engineer. He's done many areas of management and energy manager for 2 years. We're in the North Texas area. Another one. I'm a plumber looking for work in Northern Michigan area where I plan to move to in a few months or weeks. I've got 3 years experience specializing in new construction. Another one. Oh, it's coming for our outpatient radiology office in Florida. Our owner lives in Alabama, and right now it's only managers who are mandated. And I've talked about this as well. You saw this in a lot of different companies. I think it was AT&T who was doing that as well. A lot of these corporations, it was nudging. They would come into the people who are getting paid the most, who had the most invested in their career and their job with that company. So they had a position, they had a higher salary, and they squeezed them first. And then those people who got the vaccine, who didn't have any immediate issues with it, they would then be used to nudge the next layer down, people who didn't have that much invested, who weren't making that much money in that company. You've seen this everywhere. So this comes down to us. Our entire radiology office will be let go, from the front desk receptionist to insurance to technologists. Maybe someone could just buy us out from our crazy owner. Well, yeah. You know what they did to small businesses last year? Saying you're not essential. We're going to just shut you down. All the service businesses, you know, the restaurants and the hair salons and the gyms and all that sort of thing. is shut them down. You're not essential. And now that's what they're doing to us right now with this vaccine mandate. You see the plan, right? 60% of Floridians, according to a Quinnipiac poll, support wearing masks in schools. This may or may not be true. Just remember, there is such a thing as a push poll. Depending on how you ask the question, you can get the result that you want and then use that to push your candidate or to push an agenda. And Quinnipiac, as I pointed out the other day, Quinnipiac has the most punitive punishment for their students of any of the schools I've seen. You can get, they're going to cut you off if you don't get vaccinated. They're going to cut you off of Wi-Fi. They're going to give you weekly fines that are going to start at $100 and they're a week, and then they're going to go up $25 every week. So first week it's $100, next week it's $125. It'll cap off at $200 a week. It'll cap off at about $2,275. And so these people are putting out a poll. And do you trust that poll? Well, quite frankly, I don't. But again, it could be the case. We know that we've seen the school board meetings where you have people who are firm in their convictions about not masking kids, standing up, and we've shown so many of those. But the vast majority of people are just going to go along with what they're told on television. Low information and wrong information. Spain's Supreme Court has ruled against using vaccine passports to restrict access to public spaces. This is on Zero Hedge. The first judicial authority in Europe to rule against the use of COVID passports is the Spanish Supreme Court. And, of course, these are passports that would restrict access to public spaces. So far, only 5 of Spain's 17 autonomous regions have proposed using vaccine passports to restrict access to public spaces. And all of those, so about a third of the different state jurisdictions have imposed this, and but the courts have rejected it, and every single one of those with local judges. And now this is Spain's Supreme Court. So that's good news for the Spanish people. Since Spain ended its state of alarm, yes, executive, this emergency order thing, they call it a state of alarm. Since they ended that on May 9th, high courts in several different areas of Spain have prevented regional authorities from applying a range of anti-COVID restrictions, including curfews and limits on social gathering, on the grounds that it is unconstitutional to breach fundamental rights when there is no longer a state of alarm. And this is why I count this as day 530 of America Held Hostage, because it dates essentially to Trump's declaration of an emergency order, and which remains. And that is the underlying authority. Now, the even more importantly, it's the money that it released. There was an HHS declaration going back to January the 31st saying it's a public health emergency, but it was really the president's public health emergency that did that. And as long as that remains there, these people have a green light for tyranny, and that's why we're seeing this from Republicans as well as Democrats. You have to understand what the underlying basis of this is, what the prevarication is. You understand there's no pandemic. You can see that for yourself. The only way you see this pandemic is if you watch television. I've said many times, you know, we have our at our homeschool co-op group, you know, if there's a stomach virus going around, everybody say, oh, we're gonna not going to have it this week. Because it's going around, and you know everybody is coming down sick with this. And then you come back the next time. Everybody knows that. You know it through the grapevine. You know it through experience. And you know through experience and the grapevine that there is no pandemic. And yet, the legal basis for this, again, it's just like the FDA, quote-unquote, authorization. I said from the very beginning, you know, it is a fraudulent declaration of authority. That's what the FDA now stands for. A fraudulent declaration of authority. But it was a fraudulent declaration of authority 530 days ago by President Trump with that executive order that laid the foundation for all of this. A Northeastern high court in India has now ruled against mandatory vaccination. So in Spain, they're saying you're not going to have a vaccine passport to get into public areas. In India, they're saying you're not going to be able to mandate vaccines. This court in India has issued a judgment against mandatory or forced vaccination, setting this court apart from the rest of the country, which continues to push for vaccine mandates. According to appealing to Indian law, this court's ruling says it is clear that forced vaccination will be considered a crime. Among other things, it clearly states, quote, if an unwilling, capable adult is made by use of force or through deception to have this vaccine, this would be considered both a crime and a tort. You see, they understand our traditions of law that go back into Western civilization longer than we do. They understand it better than we do. Because India basically adopted the British system, and they're holding to it better than we are, at least to that one court. French people are done with authoritarian COVID restrictions, says a reporter in France for LifeSite News. Jean Smits, the Paris correspondent for LifeSite, said that the COVID passport decrees of July 12th have been the source of major demonstrations reactivating the yellow vest demonstrations of 2019. Even though the media pushes how only a few people attend these anti-government protests, she has attended several of these events herself and saw otherwise. And again, it is a slow walking, as you heard yesterday. And if you haven't seen the interview, you should get that interview with Dr. Mark McDonald, talking about the psychological aspect of this. The objective was clear from the start, she said. And it was said privately and then later leaked to the press that they would gradually make life more difficult for those who do not want to be injected by an experimental and extremely dangerous jab. The increasing medical tyranny is not only in France, but around the world. And she says in her interview, it looks like communism and Nazism. Well, that's because it is. That's exactly what it is. These people are neo-Marxists. It is corporate fascism from Pfizer and the rest of these corporations. I think we need to start spelling fascism with a P in front of it. It's just like Psaki or Pfizer. We have Pfascism. New Orleans Saints tickets to the first game in the NFL to require fans to be vaccinated. And so they were selling tickets for a dollar. And I like the comment from Chris Minahan at Information Liberation. He says it's still overvalued at this price. He points out that on the Daily Caller, and the Daily Caller is really pretty mainstream. It really is. Both Daily Caller and Breitbart, when it comes to this pandemic, they're not all that much different from CNN. They push partisan issues, and they promote Trump, and they promote the pandemic and the pharmaceuticals. And so this writer for Daily Caller, David Hookstead, says, well, while I don't want to sit and debate the vaccine, I will say that this is great news for vaccinated people. If you're vaccinated, some sports games are apparently going to be shockingly cheap. So there you go. Go out and get your vaccine so you can get a dollar ticket to a professional football game, which is where we started, isn't it? To the prisoners, get your vaccine, and I'll give you not one, not two, but I will give you 10 packets of ramen noodles. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
All right, and I've got a couple emails I'd like to go over. First of all, I just want to say I've had several people, as I said, mention to me about this, the tricks that are being played with the FDA authorization. I got a letter from Sheriff Hathaway. I need to get him back on. He said, you probably know this, but the currently used Pfizer vaccine did not get approved by the FDA, as being touted by the media. The Pfizer vaccine that got approved is not available in the U.S. because it doesn't. It's exempt from liability, and that's a good summary of what I was just saying. You know, the Comirnaty doesn't have the legal protections that the emergency use authorization vaccine does, and they don't have a lot of stock of that. Comirnaty is the brand name in Europe, and that's what they focused on. So that's why the FDA is kind of walking those two lines, and we can try to walk that legal distinction to our advantage for a limited time only, if the courts will pay attention to it. But again, we have to focus on this at the core, at the basis of this. We've got to attack the foundation of this prison that they have built. Do everything that we can to delay and to push this back, but we've got to attack the foundation of this. Another letter from a listener in Montana, Mark. He said, I keep thinking about strategies about how to get local control of our liberty. It seems like healthcare on every local front is commanded by stakeholders, by insurance companies, by hack healthcare opportunists. I see previous legislation that allows for this unconstitutional partnership. Would this not be a front less formidable than dealing with public opinion and federal overreach? Our governor in Montana seems to be trying to do the right thing along with the current legislature. That's right. As I pointed out, in Montana, the only state in the union that prohibits employers from discriminating against unvaccinated people or bothering themselves with that. And I think that we have to work at the local level. And one of the reasons why I think they're doing this at this time, not only is it because school is starting, not only is it because this is a ramp up to cold and flu season, but it's also because you've got a lot of legislatures that are not in session, Republican legislatures. So some of the legislators, as they see this happening, that did not look anticipate this as they did in Montana, and they should have, because this is obviously going to be happening. Fauci was talking about it. Yeah, as soon as we get those I's dotted and the T's crossed, we're going to see a surge of mandates. Oh, I can't wait. And so they should have understood that. But in Texas, for example, the legislature only meets from January to May, and that's the case in a lot of these different states. So right now, if they want to react to this, they should have been proactive. But if they're going to try to react to this, they're going to have to try to call the legislature back into special session, and that gets a lot more difficult. But in terms of how we work with this locally, let me just say, because I thought about this the other day, and I don't think I mentioned this, our experience with doctors and with healthcare system has we've had experience in the sense of being outside of the insurance bubble that's there. We had a doctor back in North Carolina that was a good doctor, was recommended to us, and in his practice, he was a GP. In his practice, he refused to take insurance. He didn't want to have the headache and the expense and a lot of times, you know, the hassle that would come with not getting reimbursed and so forth. So he would only take payment in cash. But he charged a lot less. As a matter of fact, what he would charge would be less than the deductible. And that was the case before we had Obamacare. And the whole time they were arguing Obamacare, I kept going back to articles that had been done, for example, by the LA Times, where they were talking about how the insurance industry had inflated needlessly the cost of health care. And they gave examples. And they said, they gave specific examples of people who went in and had the same procedure done, one insured, another not insured, at the same hospitals there in LA. And what they found was that the person who supposedly had full insurance coverage, but had, let's say, a 20% deductible, the price charged to them by the hospital and so forth, and the other services that they did, meant that the person who had, quote-unquote, full coverage with a 20% deductible actually had more out-of-pocket expense than the person who paid cash. And that has been our experience as well. And when we've had family members and we go in and we say, because we are part of an insurance group, and it's Samaritan Ministries. There's a couple of these out there. That most of them are Christian-based, but there's some out there. There's one that's out there for people who aren't Christians. But it's kind of a health-sharing situation. And there is catastrophic insurance that kicks in if it's something really big. But these health-sharing organizations, if you go in and tell them, hey, I don't have any health insurance, because technically you don't have any health insurance. I mean, there's a catastrophic policy that kicks in if it's over 50, but you're just sharing people's expenses on a monthly basis. And I really like it because you send the money. There's an annual fee of, I don't know, it's $100, $150. Karen writes the bills on that, but it's somewhere in that area. And then you pay them a monthly amount, but you don't pay it directly to them. They tell you somebody who is sick, and you cut the check directly to them. And so, you know, you can send a card, you pray for those people, and you send the money directly to them. And it's very clear who's getting paid what and what their overhead charges are. It's just taken out. So we have found that's a much better way to go. When we go in and we tell them that's our situation, you know, we don't have health insurance per se, but I do have this, and it backs me up and so forth, they will say, well, normally I would run this whole battery of tests over here, but you don't really need that. And since you don't have any insurance, we won't do that. It's like, good. Fewer tests, you get better, because not only is it needless expense, but there's sometimes special effects that come along with that. Special effects. Adverse effects. There are doctors out there who are getting booted out of the system, and there are people out there who would be more than willing to just pay them directly cash, and I think that is a model for a lot of these doctors and nurses that are out there, and I think that's going to be the model that we want to go with. The insurance model has been radically inflated over the years. I remember 40 years ago, we had a friend of ours who was absolutely outraged because he had basically a Cadillac health insurance package. He worked for IBM or something like that, some big corporation. And he was very upset because when they went in to have their baby, he looked at the bill that came out, and they'd added diapers, and they'd added, you know, $15 for an aspirin, all this other kind of stuff. And he says, first of all, these are outrageous prices, and secondly, they didn't even give us these services. And he took it to his human resources person and said, you need to fight this. I said, we don't care. We just pass it on to the insurance company. When you have a third-party payer like that, they don't care. And that fundamental breaking of the marketplace there, the breaking of the relationship between the person who's paying the bills and the person, you know, who is actually, you know, we pay the bills, but in a roundabout way. You know, the insurance companies are paying the bills directly, and then the corporations pay them. All of that third-party system came in during World War II when they had wage and price controls, and they allowed the companies to add fringe benefits like health insurance and then deduct it from income taxes at the time. And then they just left that whole system in there. They don't give you a deduction if you buy the insurance yourself. And so they've even broken it from that standpoint, keeping the person who's paying the bills, ultimately you, keeping you away from the person who's cutting the checks. And with Obamacare, it just got even worse. And now these people are taking over the decisions, because once you start, the money starts coming centrally, they're going to be making those decisions. But folks, the death panels are here now in terms of vaccination or unvaccinated. It'll be very easy for them to say, well, you know, you're not vaccinated, so, you know, thumbs down. You're out of here. No health care for you. I talked about a couple of pastors last week, the fact that they were meeting and had been meeting, that they were supporting themselves. One pastor who was looking at a very difficult time coming up because he had supported himself outside of the church, paying his salary, and both he and his wife were going to be losing their jobs because of vaccines. I had Pastor Joseph Collini, Strongsville Christian Church, sent me a follow-up. He said, I recently had one of your listeners hear you mention my testimony in our church. He lives close to our church. He explained his employer wanted to force vax him, and he was very upset about it. I told him when he came to our church, I'd be happy, more than happy, to give him a letter of religious exemption customized for him to give to Hitler, his employer. If there is anyone else in our area and they visit our church, I'd be more than happy to write a letter of religious exemption for them. Again, that's Pastor Joseph Kalini, Strongsville Christian Church. Another letter here from a listener. This is from David. It says, Trump kicked off everything with his national emergency declaration in March 2020, starting the flow of money, incentivizing measures that would never have happened otherwise. There's no emergency power in the Constitution, so if soldiers swear an oath to it, wouldn't this mandate be totally unconstitutional and illegal? Well, the problem is that the military can order you to do anything. They can tell you to jump out of a plane, and you do it, hopefully with a parachute. But even the declaration of war has certain requirements in the Constitution, and we've kind of nudged our way around that as well. You talk about this FDA authorization. Take a look at the authorization for our wars. They kind of finessed that in a way, too, didn't they? We didn't really have a debate on this. They kind of came up with a blanket authorization. We had three buildings that were hit by two planes fell down, and so we're going to put out a broad-based authorization for the use of military force that allows us to go anywhere in the world and go to war anywhere in the world for as long as we want. It wasn't a specific declaration. So they run these things through, and I would just say that the Constitution is absolutely a dead letter to the military-industrial complex and the intelligence national security state that actually controls this country. They don't care. They really don't. We're going to talk about Afghanistan. So let's talk about Afghanistan. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about Americans. They don't care about the soldiers. They don't care about their first responder heroes, the police, the nurses, the firemen. They don't care about anybody. They will stick the knife in your back as soon as they get the chance. That's especially true of these politicians. I like the Babylon Bee satire. Biden guest hosting Jeopardy. They're having a problem finding somebody that is acceptable to the woke mob to host Jeopardy. Anyway, so this Babylon Bee story here, they have Biden hosting Jeopardy, and it is a disaster. He runs away every time a contestant puts an answer in the form of a question. It's like his press conferences. What is the Roman Empire? Answered contestant Keith Black, a school teacher. I'm not taking questions at this time, said Biden as he turned and left the studio. And producers then had explained to him that in Jeopardy, all answers are in the form of questions, but he's not actually being questioned. He goes, well, that's just a bunch of malarkey, he said. By the way, I didn't mention this, but the person who signed this FDA letter is named Mary Malarkey. No joke. Real news is very much like a satire. I can understand why the people at Facebook are concerned about this. No, really, they don't want anybody ridiculing the man behind the curtain or the emperor with no clothes. But, yeah, the person who signed it at the FDA and in charge of the biologics, so her name is Mary Malarkey. It is a bunch of malarkey, isn't it? I mentioned this briefly yesterday. Such a horrific thing to watch the video of this guy, knowing that this was being filmed just before he was taken out and executed. Taliban captures and executes a well-known Afghan comedian. See, they don't like jokes any more than the Democrats do. The Taliban doesn't like jokes any more than Facebook or Twitter, and which tells you where we're headed in this country, right? Nazar Mohammed was filmed being taken away from his home in Kandahar. The video shows Taliban fighters sitting on either side of him, one of them holding a Kalashnikov. One insurgent slaps him repeatedly on the face as he's making jokes about the Taliban. Later found dead, they put him up against a tree, shot him, and slit his throat. Speaking of slitting people's throats, the American civilians that are still there have only 72 hours to evacuate, claims a former CIA officer, Sam Faddis. He says that Americans and Afghan allies who are stuck in Kabul actually have far less time to evacuate than August the 31st. And he says from folks inside Kabul, the word they're getting is that everything shuts down in 72 hours. I presume that translates to evacuation flights of any civilians terminating in 72 hours. Because just getting the troops and their equipment out takes a certain amount of time. They have to collapse in on themselves, and they have to maintain some sort of a security perimeter. The word is, it doesn't matter about American citizens. Because there's no hard head count. See, Americans don't count. But I tell you, the Taliban will be counting the heads that they chop off, won't they? Former CIA officer Sam Faddis told the Daily Mail that sources in the Pentagon and Kabul said flights for civilians out of the Afghan capital will actually end in the next 3 days. Top generals have refused in press conferences and briefings to lawmakers to disclose the precise number of American citizens still in Kabul, simply saying that they were in the thousands. What I'm constantly being told, he said, and have been told for many days now, is that any notion that this is conditions-based is wrong. We're leaving anybody who is not gone is just going to be cut away. Every time I say it, I find it staggering to hear myself say it. But it's apparently true. We're just going to leave and leave these people behind. Faddis took the first CIA team into Iraq prior to the 2003 invasion. He wrote a book about his experiences in the agency. The book was called Beyond Repair: The Decline and Fall of the CIA. In an interview with Daily Mail on Tuesday, he claimed the defense officials had told him that Biden rejected an alternative evacuation plan even after being warned that Kabul's international airport could not be defended if attacked. He said officials in the 18th Airborne Corps proposed U.S. forces retake Bagram Air Base about 30 miles north of Kabul, which was abandoned in July due to the limited number of American troops and surrendered to the Taliban by Afghan troops on August the 15th. The original plan that came out of the 18th Airborne Corps in Fort Bragg was that there's really only one rational way to do this. That's why we're doing it the other way. We've got to retake Bagram, they said, and establish a real base of operations at a defensible location that has multiple runways that will allow us to operate our own aircraft. See, the problem is they only have one aircraft, airstrip there at that Kabul airport. And it can be rendered useless at any time if they just fire rockets and artillery onto the runway. They can blow up that one runway. So it's not a secure area. I mean, they worked pretty quickly to get up concrete barriers and concertina wires and troops on the perimeter, unlike what they did at the border when we had caravans coming through. Remember that? With Trump? I mean, we've got military stationed all around the world, but even though that was supposed to be his first priority and why he was elected, he did absolutely nothing to end those wars or to protect our own border with troops. That would have been a better solution, by the way, than building a wall, and you wouldn't have had to take a lot of time to do it. Greece has put up a steel wall in just this amount of time because they're concerned about an ongoing rush of migrants coming in, Afghan refugees and so forth. So they've put up a steel wall. How were they able to do that when Trump couldn't figure out how to do that, right? And they did it real quickly. And, of course, they put up barriers at Kabul. But, of course, it's not as secure as Bagram Air Force Base, but they ran away from that. Ran away from it. Faddis told Biden, said Biden was told, quote, "You are placing our troops on the ground in a position that we cannot hold if contested." A single runway that's not really defensible, whereas at Bagram, they had multiple runways and it was defensible. Biden made that decision knowing that he was placing an American force in a position where potentially he knew going in that he wasn't even guaranteed to be able to get the troops out, let alone the American citizens in Kabul. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby dismissed the idea of retaking Bagram when questioned by journalists on Monday. He said, "What you're talking about would be an expenditure of resources and personnel as well as an increase most likely to the threat that they're under to try to go back and to retake Bagram Air Force Base." He says it's the size of a small city. Yeah. And it's only 30 miles from Kabul, right? That would have been the obvious place to do this, wouldn't it? He said it was closed down as part of the retrograde. It was always supposed to be closed down as part of the retrograde. Well, I think we've had a real retrograde, haven't we? But, you know, when you look at Bagram Air Force Base just being abandoned and turned over to the other people, how many times do we see that in Vietnam? They go in, they fight a big battle, they take an area. All right, we won. Cool. All right. Move out and just turn it back over to them. That's why one of the many reasons why I would have absolutely nothing to do with that war. Fortunately, I didn't have to make that decision. It ended just before I got out of high school, ended in my senior year. This was reported by Alex Ward. New leaked state cable with evacuation numbers as of August the 23rd. Total manifested since midnight, 483 American citizens, 6,424 Afghan nationals, and 8 of an unknown third country. Don't know, right? Well, that's about 7% of the people being Americans. Total manifested to date since the operation began, by these totals that are being put out by Alex Ward, they show 16% of the people evacuated being American citizens and a total count of 26,500. Of course, that doesn't say anything about how many people are left behind. And it doesn't say anything about people that are unknown that are being brought in. Are they being properly vetted? Are the Americans being extracted? The Federalist puts the number at only not at 16%, but only at 5% of the people evacuated from Afghanistan being Americans. They say, instead of 26,500, they say 82,300 have been airlifted from Kabul, and only 4,400 Americans, which is the same number of Americans, it's just the grand total is different between these two cables. And so that means the difference between 16% of the people evacuated being Americans and 5% of the people being evacuated being Americans. Meanwhile, Americans at the Kabul airport gates are being urged by the U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan to leave immediately. Do you think in that kind of chaotic situation where they're at the gate trying to get into the airport that are actually looking at emails and articles and stuff like that? I don't know about that. Because of security threats, says the communique by the U.S. Embassy in exile there at the Kabul airport, because they've left the embassy. Because of security threats outside the gates of Kabul airport, we are advising U.S. citizens to avoid traveling to the airport and to avoid airport gates at this time unless you receive individual instructions from a U.S. government representative to do so, said the statement. U.S. citizens who are at the Abbey Gate, the East Gate, or the North Gate should now leave immediately. Well, there you go. So get out. It's not safe. We're not going to protect you. In Kabul, private rescue efforts grow desperate as the time to evacuate Afghans runs out. And of course, Eric Prince, the defense contractor, has gone in. He says, I'll get you out for $6,500. somebody's got to pay. I've seen that the U.S. government is charging people $2,000 to get them out. Never ends, does it? No matter how much money the American taxpayers have put in, to protect us. That's what this is about, right? That's why we call it the Defense Department. They used to be more honest about it. They used to call it the War Department. But now, since it doesn't defend us anymore, it just has wars, they call it the Defense Department. And they don't do anything to protect American citizens who have been paying the bills, will be straddled with the bills in the future, and whose sons and daughters are being sacrificed to these ill-gotten political objectives. 4,100 Americans remain stranded, many not even in or around Kabul. The Pentagon estimated there are more than 10,000 people outside the airport ready to be evacuated, noting that the number could change if more people are able to reach the point of extraction, which is constantly changing because they don't have any control of anything. And areas are being shut down, as you just saw from that communique from the embassy. 20 American students and 16 parents are stranded. They were not able to get to the airport. These are people who were part of a school that was operating there. This is being reported by the LA Times. A stranded group had purchased flights out of Afghanistan before the beginning of the school year on August the 17th. But they were not able to leave the country due to Biden's deadly withdrawal operation. I guess they believed him when he said he was going to be there till 9/11. And so they gave themselves like an additional month to get out of there. But you can't believe anything, Biden says. We're worried about our students that are stuck there. We'll do the best we can to get them out. And yet the Taliban is going door to door now, kidnapping and raping girls and women in Afghanistan and targeting Christians for death. According to a first-hand ground report published by PR Newswire, quote, the Taliban are going door to door taking women and children. The people must mark their house with an X if they have a girl over 12 years old so the Taliban can take them. It's kind of just the opposite, isn't it, of Passover. Instead of marking the doorway with the blood of the lamb so that your firstborn is not taken, you mark it with an X so the Taliban can take your daughter. If they find a young girl and the house is not marked, they will execute the entire family. If a married woman, 25 years or older, has been found, the Taliban will promptly kill her husband and do whatever they want to her, and then sell her as a sex slave. The report describes how husbands and fathers have given their wives and daughters guns and told them that when the Taliban come, they can either choose to kill them or kill themselves. It's their choice. Just leave the last bullet in the gun. They're demanding people's cell phones, as I pointed out the other day. If they find a downloaded Bible or anything that is Christian on it, they kill these people immediately. It is incredibly dangerous right now in for Afghans to have anything Christian on their phones. And the Taliban have spies and informants everywhere. Pastor X, an undercover pastor in Afghanistan, reported to Global Catalytic Ministries. He said, what we're witnessing right now is a decimation of the country and the people of Afghanistan. The Taliban has a hit list of known Christians that they're targeting to hunt down and kill. God is the only one who can protect them and their Christian leaders. He said, the courage we're hearing about them is absolutely incredible. They're bold and they trust God. You see, we haven't gotten to that point yet. All we have to do is see a report by the American Christians on CNN saying there's a scary virus going around. You know, maybe it's raining and your car might skid off the road, so don't go to church this weekend. Don't meet with your fellow Christians to encourage them and to be encouraged. Nah, just look out for number one, because, you know, you might die. And if you're afraid of death, you're not a Christian. Nobody wants to die. It's an unpleasant thing, but it's a different way of looking at it. That fear of death should not rule your life and should not influence your decisions. Persecution of minority religions in Afghanistan, Hindu, Sikh, Baha'i, Christians, was rife even before the U.S. removed its military. And that's why I talked about it the other day. You want to know where we're headed in this country? You look at the Christian persecution of servicemen, not just the ones who are in places like Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or Iraq, how they hammer them about having Bibles or what they can do with their Bibles or whatever. But look at how they hammer their expression of faith even when they're stationed in America, for example. And you look at what the government has done to push back on any public expression of Christianity, to push it into the closet, to try to make people ashamed of it, embarrassed or intimidated, afraid to show it publicly. And don't tell me that an American government that tolerates Afghanistan becoming the either first or worst persecuting a state of Christianity under the American-supported Afghan government, don't tell me that this government here in America isn't going to be coming for Christians and doing it soon. Like you're seeing in Canada and other places as well. They create a climate gradually of hatred, just like they're doing with the unvaccinated. They've been working on that for a long time with Christians through the LGBT agenda. We will not tolerate your Christian beliefs, your Christian expressions, your statements, your speech. And that is all paving the way through that intolerance for this type of persecution. The Christian community is estimated to be about 10,000 to 12,000 people in Afghanistan, most of them converts. Stranded Afghans delete their social media as the Taliban is seizing U.S. surveillance equipment. This is what I reported last week about the HIDE equipment, Handheld Interagency Identity Detection Equipment, HIIDE. And so as they're talking about this and other things, human rights groups said, we understand the Taliban is now likely to have access to various biometric databases and equipment in Afghanistan, including some that was left behind by coalition military forces. So the U.S. military comes out with their spokesperson and says, well, I'm skeptical that the Taliban is sophisticated enough to use that. Is it that hard to use? I mean, we left the passwords and the manuals together with the equipment. They always have to stay together. We left all that stuff behind. They've got manuals. I mean, we're supposed to believe that these guys are smart enough that they can fly commercial airline planes at a speed and altitude that the people who fly them for decades and who taught pilots how to do it, they say you can't fly a plane that fast at that altitude. The air's too thick. But these guys in Afghanistan could do it. That's the whole basis, right, of the whole Afghan war, is that they took down three buildings with just two planes, and they did it flying them super fast and super low. So you don't think they can figure out how to operate these biometric devices with the manual? It's a lot less complicated than that. Yeah, some of them were flying the helicopters already that were left behind. And then they came back, the DOD says, well, the pushing back on the HIDE thing, they said, it's nothing more complicated than fingerprint data. And we've been collecting fingerprint data for over 100 years. Well, that's just a bold-faced lie, again, from the DOD. Because I showed you their own documents. Yeah, they've had this stuff there for at least 2010. I saw a video of how they were collecting the information going back to 2010. So I don't know if it was a new thing at that point in time or if it's even older than that. However, it's a lot more than fingerprint data. As I showed you, they're collecting information about your retina, about your iris. They do facial recognition. They do voice recognition. They can recognize the way that you walk and a whole slew of other things. That, and the key point is that it keeps a database. And in that database, it isn't just about what you look like, or your fingerprints, or your iris and retina print. It's also everything about you politically and religiously. And political and religious geospatial intelligence has been the focus of all this social credit system and what they want to impose on us here for the longest period of time. Again, when you have Michael Hayden, 4-star general, former head of the NSA, the CIA, saying, yeah, our Taliban are the conservatives. No, our Taliban is the NSA, the CIA, the military-industrial complex. That is our Taliban. And they're the ones who are creating these devices that will be used to identify us. Fraudulent American passports are being used to try to get to the U.S. Are they not checking the biometrics of these people? Did maybe they leave all their equipment at the Bagram Air Force Base or other place? They don't have any now anymore. They don't have the HIDE stuff anymore to check these people. Or do the people at the CIA and NSA, do they want certain people to come in instead of Americans? Well, they'd like to have their former allies and current allies, the Mujahideen, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and these others. Would they like to have those people come in? The people that we'd seen before 9/11, you know, coming into the Pentagon and other places as well. People are furious and disgusted, said a former U.S. intelligence official who declined to be quoted by name. He said, CIA officers feel a real sense of obligation, moral obligation, and personal obligation to the Afghans. They supported and trained, said former CIA Director John Brennan. So I don't know. You know, when you look at this, they certainly don't care about bringing the Americans in, but they sure are excited about getting more Afghans into this country. Most of the Afghans who've come into this country, survey a couple of years ago, said 99% of them support Sharia law in America. We had the worst mass shooting at the time, at least, at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, was carried out by an Afghan. America's $800 million Kabul embassy will be abandoned. No troops will guard it. Just going to turn that over as well. U.S. taxpayers have sunk a whopping $1.5 billion to erect and to maintain the embassy. Just the embassy. I mean, we're not talking about Bagram Air Force Base, which is like a city. This is the embassy itself. $1.5 billion. And they said the most estimates commonly put it at $800 million in value minus maintenance, upkeep, and security costs. And if you look at the countries that receive the most U.S. foreign and aid and spending, going back to fiscal year 2018, who do we give the most money to? Well, here's a list of countries that we give money to, going in increasing order. Yemen gets the least of these on the list. Then we have the Democratic Republic of Congo, Lebanon, Uganda, Somalia. It's going up. It's going up. South Sudan, Nigeria, Kenya, Syria, Ethiopia, Iraq, Egypt, Jordan, Israel. And you're looking at $3 billion there. And then you go to Afghanistan, $6 billion. $6 billion. And that's what we've been spending on a regular basis. Babylon Bee's satire about this shows Mohammed's army surplus. Taliban opens a chain of U.S. Army surplus stores. Now that, headline out of Kabul, now that Allah has seen fit to bless the Taliban with bountiful weapons and equipment from the U.S. military, terrorists around Afghanistan have built an already thriving chain of U.S. Army surplus stores. We need weapons to kill and subjugate the Afghan people under Sharia law, but there's just too much gear here, said a local Taliban leader, Bob Muhammad. There's like billions of dollars and 20 years worth of weaponry around here. Now I can build a thriving business out of selling my wares to other terrorist folk who happen to pass through. Allah be praised. Although the merchandise will not be available to the general public for obvious reasons, Muhammad's army surplus will feature a full selection of deadly weaponry, ammunition, combat boots, MREs, helmets, hashish, and whatever else a soldier of Allah may need. Bob Muhammad hopes to open more stores in Iraq and Syria. It'll become a weapons bazaar. That's what'll happen. Tony Blair calls U.S.-Afghanistan withdrawal imbecilic, he said. RT said, well, then what was the Bush-Blair invasion of 2001? If the withdrawal is imbecilic, then what was the initiation of this? Yeah, the reality is, as Free Thought Project points out, Biden and Trump supporters are pointing fingers at each other. They need to understand that it is Bush and Obama to blame for this as well. Now, how were we? Why were we there? What was the purpose? What was the mission? What was the definition of winning? CBS is now saying that global warming is why the Taliban won. According to a CBS News article titled How Climate Change Helped to Strengthen the Taliban, they actually said this: rural Afghanistan has been rocked by climate change. The past three decades have brought floods and drought that have destroyed crops and left people hungry. Well, I don't know. They've had bumper crops of poppy for opium. They became like almost 100% of the world's supply coming out of there. So it seems like they had enough rain for that. I don't know. The Taliban, likely without even knowing that climate change was the cause, have taken advantage of that pain. How ridiculous can you get? Biden stands by, this is how ridiculous you can get. He stands by what he calls the hard and painful evacuation from Kabul. And he says, I could back sanctions on the Taliban, quote, depending on their conduct. Yeah, right now we're basking in the PR effects of the videos that we've seen of them, dancing with the AK-47 and riding in little bumper cars and going around on merry-go-rounds. You know, they're mostly harmless, kind of peaceful. Let's not pay any attention to all the reports of the mass murder and raping and executions on the spot that are happening there. We just have to take a look at their conduct. Take a look at their conduct. Well, they don't have any problem putting economic sanctions on us, do they? And we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to talk about the economic sanctions that are being put on us with these demands, the toxic medicine, the masks, and how does the GOP line up in defending our freedom against this pharmaceutical fascism? We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Yes, and we appreciate them carrying us, and we appreciate Aftermath FM also carrying the show live. Both of those are audio feeds. We have video feeds at DLive and Trovo, and we have added, fortunately, been included in the beta testing for Odyssey. You should see that. We're still testing that out, but you see it there, and we're working on some other venues that have been offered to us. In terms of the archives, you will find them on podcasts, and we have a couple of different places where we host the podcast. You'll find it under the name The David Knight Show or under The Real David Knight Show. That's the same podcast. We just had to create The Real David Knight Show because we couldn't get it turned over to us for quite some time. Now the podcast is basically everywhere that you would get it. You can go directly to Podbean or to Spreaker, but then it gets pushed out. Both of those get, that's where each of those are hosted by that name. But it also gets pushed out to every podcast site, such as iTunes or Google's site, so forth, everywhere except for Spotify. They have banned us as well. And speaking of banning, we were banned by PayPal, and we were also banned by Venmo. And I just had a letter that was sent to me, email was sent to me. I enjoy your podcast. I'd like to support you. What is the best method for a recurring donation? This is from Connie. Thank you, Connie. And we replied to her, but I just thought if she had questions about that, maybe other people would as well. We have Subscribestar, which is, and again, you'll find links to all these places, all the places where you can hear us live, audio and video, all the places where you can find the video archives at Odyssey, at BitChute, at Rumble, as well as YouTube. All of those links, all the links to the different podcasts and so forth, and the links to where and how you can support us. You'll find all of that at thedavidknightshow.com, thedavidknightshow.com. But I'll just say that the only place that we have right now where you can do a recurring donation is Subscribestar. I don't think you can do a recurring donation on Zelle. We take Bitcoin. We also have a P.O. box and things like that. But Subscribestar, you can set it up for recurring donation. I will say that we've had several people who have written letters, and they apologize, and there's no need to do that. But they said, well, I thought I'd signed up for this, and I didn't realize that my credit card changed. You know, credit cards expire, they change, or whatever. If you have a situation like that, then you'll need to put that credit card back in. They don't really seem to notify you if your credit card is not working. And we don't get any notification of that, so we don't have any, and we don't really have any way to directly contact you there via Subscribestar. So if you set it up for a recurring payment, and again, you know, if the show, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, $5, $10 would be greatly appreciated. We have a lot of people who have been very faithful to us and been very heavy supporters of us. If we could get a large base of people, a large percentage of the listening audience that would just give a small amount each month, that would do it for us. We understand it's a difficult time. We're not going to put this behind a firewall. But if you were signed up for a recurring charge, just understand that, you know, if something happens with your credit card, it has to change for some reason, it gets compromised or it expires, they will not notify you. We will not notify you. So you'll just need to keep up with that. But we really do appreciate the support from so many of you. Let's talk about the GOP. Are they supporting us? Are they supporting the Constitution, our individual rights? Begin by an analogy here. You know, there was a story that was on the Drudge Report, pushed around by a lot of the mainstream media because it's kind of comical. From the smoking gun, a pot-bellied Iowan, 19 years old, faces two drug charges, report the police. Because, you know, it's kind of unusual to find a pot-bellied 19-year-old, even though we have kind of gone down that road with our nutritional habits, haven't we? And that's, I guess, what's going to be coming next. You know, you're going to have the food police coming by telling you what you can and cannot eat. It's not even a projection. We know that's going to happen. We know that's going to happen in the name of saving the world from climate change. They're going to manipulate what you can eat as well. And they'll probably tell you what you must eat. You know, got to eat that Soylent Green. Anyway, this guy has got a big pot belly. He has an encounter with the police. They were called about a disturbance in an Iowa apartment building. They discovered him and another man face-to-face yelling at each other. And as he tried to walk away from the cops, they noticed that he had a very large bulge under his shirt near the waistline, that he was trying to hide something. And so they asked him what that was. he tried to walk away, and as he did, a big bag of pot fell out of his pot belly. Now, in a sense, this is it's always been a comical story. Yeah, they literally had a pot belly. It really is kind of a metaphor of what the GOP and Trump have really done to us, right? You can see that what they're telling you is an obvious lie, just as obvious as this guy's pot belly. But we don't want to go there, do we? We don't want to believe that that's the case, because that's our team, that's our color. We've already got the Make America Again, Great Again hat, the red cap. We've already got all that. We bought into all that stuff, right? And since we put all of our hope on government, on the federal government, to save us, that's a very distressing thing to think, because that's what I keep seeing from people. You know, you criticize Trump, and, well, you must be for Biden. Well, no, I'm not for Biden either. Well, then what's the point, man? It's game over. We're going to buy it on this rock. And it's like, well, eventually, yes, but, you know, it's... don't put your hope in any of these people is the point. Know who they are. As Patrick Henry said, you know, guard carefully the precious jewel of liberty. Watch anyone who comes close to it. And so that's what we need to do. And so I'm going to give you some of the people who are doing the right stuff, some of the people who are deceiving you as to whether or not they're doing the right stuff, and some of the people who are just obviously walking around with a load of pot under their shirt. And this country is going to pot. We've got to confront the reality of this stuff and not pretend that it's okay for them to lie to us, because they're not really lying to us. They're still really on our side. It's just the other side that's being deceived. They're playing 4D chess, all that stuff. Here's a good example. You've got the Republican leader on the House Energy and Commerce Committee Subcommittee on Health. This is how bureaucratic Congress is. This guy's name is Brett Guthrie. He's from Kentucky. He's also on the House Energy and Committee Commerce. This is somebody else there that's a commerce leader. So these people put out a joint statement. Guthrie and this other person who is part of Energy and Commerce, Kathy McMorris Rogers. She's from Washington. They put out a statement that said this approval, the FDA approval that we've talked about before, whether it's approval or not, they're saying this approval will build more confidence and trust in the vaccines, which are safe and highly effective at preventing severe illness, hospitalization, and death from COVID-19. For anyone who hasn't yet been vaccinated, we encourage you to talk to your doctor. Does it matter if my doctor says I don't need to get it? No. Getting vaccinated, they say, is the best way to protect yourself and your family. It's how we beat this pandemic and restore our way of life. Life under this pandemic has been full of fear. Yeah, I noticed. Fear being sold by you, people like you. You sell out Republican politicians and the bureaucrats. It's been full of fear. Fear of the unknown, isolation, and uncertainty. What gave us hope from the beginning was the promise of American ingenuity and innovation. What they're talking about here is corporate worship. Well, let me rephrase that. Worshiping corporations, because, you know, when churches get together, they call it corporate worship sometimes. No, they're talking about worshiping corporations, worshiping technology. And they're also talking about, from the very beginning of this, our hope was that we would have a vaccine. There was never any interest in any therapeutic. Anytime somebody would, any doctor would say, hey, I've got something here that works. We're not going to do that. Arrest that guy. Kick him off of social media. Take his license away from him. They never wanted anything but a vaccine. They're going to lock everybody down as draconian measures as possible, wait until we have a rushed vaccine. And that has been the plan since dark winter 2001. And they've rehearsed that, as I've said many times, every year for 20 years. So we've got the Arkansas and Ohio governors also saying that they hope, they place their hope in the FDA full approval of the vaccine. And they hope that that will get you to get the injection. So this is Asa Hutchinson and Mike DeWine, people who have betrayed us time and again. Mike DeWine, one of the worst of the governors, a Republican in Ohio. And then Asa Hutchinson, who was pretending that he was along with Republicans and saying, yeah, I'm going to stop these mask mandates. And then after he got some criticism from the establishment press, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry I signed that. I wish I hadn't done it. But, you know, we're hoping that the judiciary will overturn that bad law that I signed. And, yes, they did. So they're out there now celebrating Asa Hutchinson, governor of Arkansas, Mike DeWine, governor of Ohio, both Republicans, both traitors to liberty and the Constitution, celebrating this lie, this fraudulent declaration of authorization from the FDA. Some people are not being vaccinated, said Mike DeWine, who would be vaccinated, and so those people are going to die. But now we can save their life with a rubber stamp from a lying federal bureaucracy. Well, let me just say Mike DeWine, it's none of your business, really, right? You're not a doctor, first of all. You're not even a governor who obeys the Constitution. Why would I listen to you? Why would I care what you have to say? You sell out. In Ohio, GOP Senator Andrew Brenner pushed through a last-minute provision that would prohibit state public schools and universities from mandating vaccines without a full FDA approval. He said, when I introduced this amendment, I was looking at it from the standpoint of individual liberty. While it had been given emergency use authorization, typical vaccines take about 10 years of trials and testing to know the side effects and everything. And so they say, however, the COVID-19 vaccines were the result of more than a decade of behind-the-scenes research and huge injections of funding. Injections of money. Yeah, that's what Trump did with his Trump shots. Huge injection of money that laid the groundwork for them to be rolled out so quickly. Let me just say this. Again, if you're going to say, and he knows what the situation is, Andrew Brenner, he knows that it typically takes a very long time. And as Newsweek is pushing back against this and saying, oh, yeah, we were laying the groundwork for this for 10 years. Moderna was the only company that was pushing on mRNA. They had never gotten a therapeutic or a vaccine approved. No other pharmaceutical company was even interested in that approach until Fauci and Trump injected cash into it. They all said it was too dangerous, it was too risky. And so there were no products there. Now, we've had some people say that they had these vaccines stockpiled in advance. Why is it that they're all using exactly the same approach? Did Pfizer do a little bit of corporate stealing of this? You know, did they steal it from Moderna? Or was this something that was prepared? I think it's David Martin who said, yeah, these vaccines were sitting around for a long time and they just roll this stuff out with a phony Operation Warp Speed. Well, whatever it is, folks, we can speculate about that kind of stuff. But we know that it hasn't been tested. It hasn't been tested. And it doesn't matter whether they've rubber stamped it or not. It hasn't been tested. It has not been tested. You cannot say, well, we gave it to, instead of 30,000 people, we gave it to 300 million people. It's still a short time. It's still not tested. And they still got rid of the control group. Christy Noem, South Dakota. She said, if Joe Biden illegally mandates vaccines, I will take every action available under the law to protect South Dakotans from the federal government. Virtue signaling again. So if he mandates vaccines, and let me just say, and I had this going back and forth with people on social media, people contacting me, well, you better hope that Trump gets in because Biden will mandate this. I said, they're going to roll this through with corporate coercion. And that's going to be pretty widespread before they ever attempt to mandate it. They'll attempt to mandate it for the final few people, perhaps, at some point in time in the future. But that was never the intention. New England Journal of Medicine said, we don't want to have the due process challenges. We want to do this through corporate coercion. The same approach that they've used to take our free speech in the First Amendment. To pretend that it's corporations who are doing it and they can do whatever they want. The government is using corporations as a surrogate for all of this tyranny, whether it's taking away the First Amendment or taking away our informed consent and our parental rights and everything else that goes along with this. Private property, as they're putting on these moratoriums on people with rent. They're using corporate surrogates for their tyranny. And so when Christy Noem does this, she knows that. And it is simply window dressing. South Dakota legislators, as a matter of fact, have urged her to put in a vaccine mandate ban. But she's not doing that. The bill would effectively ban COVID vaccine mandates under any and all circumstances in South Dakota. So she's saying, I'm going to protect you if Joe Biden mandates vaccines. But she won't sign on to the bill that the Republican legislature has put in there saying you stop the employers from doing it. You understand? She knows that that's where this is going to roll out. Fauci knows. Everybody knows that. I knew that. I've been telling you that for a year and a half. That's where it's coming from. The New England Journal of Medicine said that. So on that point, on the reality, at the point of the attack with corporate coercion on these vaccines, she's going to resist it. While she virtue signals on the internet, saying, I'm going to protect you from Biden mandates, she allows the corporations to do it. This is the same phony. And again, she gave a very good speech. Eric Peters, EP Autos, pointed out she gave a great speech at CPAC talking about liberty. And he said, hey, when's the last time you heard anybody talking about liberty? He's exactly right. Her speech was great. But what did she do? Shortly after that, you had the South Dakota legislature said, we want to protect young girls from this LGBT agenda. And she showed how fake she was on that. She refused to do that. She said, well, we can't do that because, I have to do whatever the NCAA says. And if they say that we're going to have boys in the dressing rooms and the bathrooms of these young girls, we just have to do it. I can't prohibit that. And now what she's saying is, I'm going to protect you from the mandates from Biden, but I'm not going to protect you from the mandates from each and every employer. She refuses to do that. See how phony she is? This is why I say, you know, she's much better than Trump, actually, because she can put together a speech about liberty. She's just as much of a backstabbing traitor when the rubber meets the road. In Montana, the governor there, of course, signed a bill into law, as I pointed out earlier, that prevents private businesses from denying goods, services, or employment to people on the basis of their vaccination status. But Kristi Noem has only banned them as a condition of employment in state and local government. Same, just like Greg Abbott. Oh, we're not going to let them mandate this kind of stuff for you at the state and local government until we get the rubber stamp from the FDA. But private businesses can do anything they want. As for those who do not want the shot, but who work for private employers requiring the vaccines, Kristi Noem, South Dakota, says other employment opportunities are available to them. Oh, just get another job, she says. You know, you get kicked off by your corporate masters because they don't like free speech, they don't like your political opinions, they don't like your religious beliefs. Well, just build your own social media network. And then when you do build your own social media network, like Andrew Torba, they come after you, right? And so she says, hey, you know, you've got other jobs that you could do. Well, I would suggest maybe she's got another job she could do. Maybe she's not really very well suited to being a governor, especially a Republican governor posing as somebody who supports individual liberty in the Constitution. Maybe Kristi Noem could actually find a career that would be suitable for her. Maybe she could become, I don't know, a bureaucrat, pharmaceutical executive, something like that. Maybe she could sell vaccines in a more direct way. I don't think, as this keeps changing, said one person who was behind the bill to stop the employer mandates. Now, this is a good Republican. His name is Odenbach. And he and John Hansen, so Scott Odenbach and John Hansen, put together the bill that was called the COVID Vaccine Freedom of Conscience Act. And Kristi Noem, who has no conscience and who doesn't support freedom, opposed it. And so Odenbach, one of the supporters of that bill, said, I don't think, as this keeps changing, that we should make, force, or coerce people to be guinea pigs. And then he has to do the genuflexes everyone does. Oh, I think the vaccines are good, but I am discouraging coercion. But even that's not good enough for Kristi Noem. Odenbach and Hansen argue that the bill should be debated in a special session as soon as possible, given that a number of vaccine mandates will go into effect prior to the regularly scheduled legislative session next January. To call a special session, you need two-thirds of both chambers of the legislature who have to agree, and the governor, however, could call the legislators back for one on her own, but she doesn't support this. And as I said earlier, part of the reason that they're doing this right now, that they're running through this prevarication about approval to encourage people to fire those who do not get vaccinated. One of the reasons that they're running this through right now is because this is timed for when a lot of these legislatures are not meeting. Even if it's not a attenuated session, as I pointed out here in Texas, it goes from January to May. And it only meets every other year, I believe. I don't think they're even going to have anything next year. But in South Dakota, they're not going to be back in session until January. Even the people who have longer sessions, they're typically out right about now because they take long vacations around Labor Day. So they run this thing through at the appropriate time to make sure that a lot of stuff is going to happen before any of these legislators react to this. But, of course, they knew it was coming, and they could have done something a long time ago. It's not rocket science to see this is happening. And they did anticipate it in Montana, because it is not as tightly controlled as these higher population states. This isn't more big government, as people are pushing back on. They said, well, you can't tell people that they can't fire somebody for this. He said, this isn't big government. This is exactly the opposite, said Odenbach. I think especially now when what you see so often are large corporations working hand in hand with the government, especially the federal government. They become a de facto arm of the government. I believe it's our job as a representative of the people to protect the individual rights of those folk who are standing up to those entities. He's basically got it right. He's a good guy. And, you know, even the best guys, even Ron Johnson we're going to talk about here, they have to say, well, I don't have any problem with vaccines, but I have a problem with being coerced and so forth. And I think that is important for them to stand on this. We'll take whatever we can get. And I appreciate them doing that. Just like I said from DeSantis, we'll take whatever we can get from him. He's not there in terms of protecting people's jobs. But, you know, when we look at France, they've already got situations where they're keeping people out of the grocery stores if you don't have your COVID passport. This is not a theory. This is coming everywhere. Everywhere. It's the same agenda worldwide. This isn't just America held hostage. This is the world held hostage. And I think we could count it legitimately from the point at which Trump decides that he's going to go into this Operation Warp Speed stuff, because he produced the vaccines for the world. Even though he did not fund the research for the Oxford vaccine that became AstraZeneca. They purchased hundreds of millions of doses of that, even though they haven't used it here. When you go out and you give a contract to a defense contractor that's going to make, let's say, a fighter jet or something, they typically don't pay for the research and development in addition to that. That's why it's so astounding that we did that with several of these vaccines. We paid for the research and development and gave them the contract and delivered it and gave them legal liability protection against all this stuff. And, of course, we paid more than anybody else did, in spite of all that. So this injection of cash by President Trump into the pharmaceutical coffers is really what is responsible for this worldwide thing. And it is a worldwide agenda. The same tactics are being rolled out everywhere. The difference is the speed at which they believe they can get away with it. In Mississippi, for example, we're now seeing something that is slouching towards Australia, if you want to put it that way. You know, we had Judge Bork talking about the moral decline of America. Reagan's Supreme Court nominee, a conservative, he said we're slouching towards Gomorrah. That's the name of a book he did, talking about the moral degeneracy of this country. But what we're slouching toward now is we're slouching towards a kind of over-the-top authoritarianism that we've seen in Australia, that martial law that we've seen there. Because where did that start? Well, it started with lockdown and great big fines, didn't it? And that's what you're seeing now in Mississippi. Mississippi by Republican Governor Tate Reeves. COVID-positive people in Mississippi are ordered to isolate for 10 days or face up to 5 years in jail. 5 years in jail. Or $5,000. I'm sorry, $500. $500, let's see. Individuals caught flouting the order will be charged $500 and could face imprisonment for 6 months. All people who test positive will isolate for 10 days, but it escalates, and you could get up to 5 years in prison with this. The FDA gives vaccine approval, but a Republican senator asks if it was rushed. And who is that? Is it Rand Paul? No. No, it's not Rand Paul. As a matter of fact, Rand Paul's wife bought into Remdesivir. Oh, yeah. Gilead Pharmaceuticals. Isn't it funny? You know, Gilead Pharmaceutical, the people who are such pals for Anthony Fauci. He's gone to bat for Gilead, for Remdesivir, many times. Tried to hawk off that useless, dangerous, expensive medicine for AIDS. He tried to do it for Ebola. He successfully did it for this scam. And after they sold billions of dollars worth of it, because they were about to lose their patent on it, he'd been working on trying to hawk this stuff for them for so long. After they made billions of dollars on it, the EU said, this doesn't work. And we knew that beforehand. You know, there's a study that went up on the World Health Organization site, and they took it down within a couple of hours. And within a week, Fauci put out his own study and said, it's the standard of care. Yeah, I've done my own study. It hasn't been peer-reviewed here, but it's the standard of care, because I said so. And he changed the standard of care measurement. Not a therapeutic that doesn't make you any better. That was the definition before. But it's Rand Paul's wife. So it's the same time that you got Rand Paul coming after Fauci. And about what? About something that happened a year ago? He's had a beef with him because he wants people who've been vaccinated to wear a mask, or people who've had it and have natural immunity to wear a mask. But Rand Paul isn't pushing back on the big pharmaceutical stuff. And his wife bought into this Gilead thing. So who is the Republican senator who really pushed back against this? It's Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin. Ron Johnson is the one who, as I reported 2 months ago, had the former Wisconsin Green Bay Packer football star whose wife, you know, they both got the injection, and you get the same dosage whether you are a 300-pound-plus lineman for the NFL or whether you are a 120-pound, 5-foot wife. You get the same dosage of the protein spikes, the mRNA stuff that makes the protein spikes. She came down with essentially multiple sclerosis. She immediately had issues. They knew what it was. And they've continued to get worse. When nobody would listen to them or pay any attention to them or give them any help, none of the doctors want to know anything about it. Again, it's like that friend of my family's who had an operation and they left a tool inside of him. And he goes back to the doctor, did the operation. And he could see the tool poking out in his skin. And the doctor looks at it and goes, no, that's not it. No, it's not happening. He just wants to walk away, complete denial. That's the way anybody is about these vaccine side effects. So he put together an organization and of people telling their personal stories about how they have been harmed with this. And Ron Johnson, to his credit, was a part of that. And he took a lot of heat. Yeah, he's been demonized by all the establishment media, and Ron Johnson is the only one who has said that this so-called approval was rushed. He said, I see no need to rush FDA approval process for any of these COVID vaccines. Expediting the process appears to only serve the political purpose of imposing and enforcing vaccine mandates. He nailed it. This is simply political. It's simply to force and to coerce us with mandates. He said the fast-track decision appeared to be more political than scientific. It skipped all of the usual formal advisory committee meetings. It did not fully account for the reports of deaths and disabilities suffered by people after being vaccinated. We got one senator who will tell the truth about this. Think about that. Not Rand Paul, not Ted Cruz, not Marco Rubio, not Mike Lee, nobody. Just Ron Johnson. He stressed that he's not anti-vaccine, but he wants all the usual reviews of safety, effectiveness, and adverse events completed before the stamp of approval. He said over a year and a half, the decisions of federal health agencies have dramatically affected the lives of all Americans. The impact of these decisions has been felt in Americans' treatment options, in their employment, in their schools, in their housing, in their travel, and in countless other ways. The human toll of the social restrictions and the economic devastation is incalculable. Unfortunately, your federal health agencies have not been transparent with the American people about how these life-altering decisions have been made, or what science or what data they are based upon. I urge you to reconsider your decision to not assemble a VRB PAC public meeting prior to the granting of any final vaccine approval. He wrote that letter to the FDA. The only one to tell the truth about this. You have completely altered every aspect of our lives without any scientific data or justification, review, or transparency. And it's finally time for you to, for once, follow even your own rules and regulations, but they won't do it. And why won't they do it? because you've got some sellout grifter like Mitch McConnell who says this. Well, the FDA's finally approved the Pfizer vaccine, even further testament to the genius of science and the success of Operation Warp Speed. That guy whose wife, Elaine Chao, Trump gave her the position of the Department of Transportation so she could feed at the trough. He's no better than Pelosi or Schumer or any of these other people, lifetime politicians. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb, who is now on the board of directors for Pfizer as the fascist government moves along. He's now with Pfizer. He was congratulating his colleagues at Pfizer. And he says, now, after the FDA that he used to be commissioner of, he says, they'll feel they'll be on stronger legal ground to mandate vaccination in that setting. And again, notice that he didn't say they've got full legal ground. There is some legal loopholes, as I pointed out at the beginning of the program, in that thing, based on their legal distinctions between Comirnaty and the vaccine without the brand name. It just says BioNTech Pfizer on it. So that is not here, and it's not here because they have they don't have legal immunity completely for that like they do for the emergency use authorization. So it's a couple of different things that are happening there. If you know that, you may be able to use that to get a little bit of wiggle room with your employer. But this is all just about a blackmail game. This is all just about financial incentivizing of this. This is why I point out about the executive order, releasing the money, injecting the cash, doing this, because your private company, even if the people don't care, you might work for some organization that services big corporations, or maybe you're in the healthcare business, you work for a company that has to deal with the hospitals. And so the point of pressure is going to be flowing to you via the federal government putting pressure on the big guys, the hospitals or whatever, or the state government putting pressure on them, and then them putting pressure on the people who sell to them. It's the same thing that was happening at one point in time when you had Greg Abbott, for example, saying, well, we're not going to allow, because it doesn't have authorization yet, we're not going to allow it to be mandated by state agencies or the people who sell to the state agencies. And now it's going the other way. Now, because it's authorized, the state agencies, the federal agencies can put pressure on everybody in their supply chain, and then they can put pressure on the people downstream from them in the supply chain until they get everybody pressuring their employees. That's why we've got to build a parallel society locally. That's why it's so important to take a look at what is going on at Gab and other places and try to start to build this network. There's not much there yet, but again, go there, support that, start trying to build a community locally as much as you can. Work through your church, people who have discernment at your church. If your church doesn't have any discernment about this, they're going to be basically selling the people out to slavery. I mean, at this point, you've had a year and a half to watch what people around you have been doing. And you know what the business is, you know what the church is, you know what they've done over the last year and a half. Anybody could be fooled, but after a few months, everybody understands what's really going on here. And then it's up to them to do the right thing or not. And they've had more than enough time. It's been more than a year and a half that this has been out there. And it's been more than a year since everybody has known this is an absolute fraud, much more than a year. Other Republicans, North Carolina, you got Tom Tillis. This guy is a creature of the globalist state, if ever there was one. I've talked about this before from people I know back in North Carolina, how he was handpicked as soon as the legislature turned over to the Republicans 2 years after Obama carried the state in 2008. In 2010, the Republicans got charge. And they were able to redistrict the lines and so forth. And they turned over everything except for Congress. They were able, because it was a census year, they were able to redraw the gerrymandering lines that the Democrats have done. And so that changed things in their favor. But they took this guy, Tom Tillis, and they put him over a guy who was a genuine conservative. And it took no time at all for him as Speaker of the House to start pushing in toll roads as part of the American Legislative Exchange Council's dictates. They elevated him then to become a senator. He is a great example of how this corrupt system works, just like Scott Gottlieb is in terms of regulatory capture and the revolving door. This guy is Tom Tillis is a great example of the corruption and why we get the kind of people in Washington that are never going to help us. So he's out there pushing it. Now is a good time to get your vaccine. Now is, you know, it's all set. The former administration's warp speed, this is actually a Congressman, Greg Murphy, also from North Carolina, said the former administration's Operation Warp Speed paved the way for this moment. Give Trump a round of applause. It's so wonderful. It's so huge. It's a big win. You can just hear Trump whining about that. This will go down, says this Greg Murphy, Republican cheerleader of Operation Warp Speed, which will go down as one of the greatest medical achievements in history. You ought to be right up there with Joseph Mengele's twin experiments, wouldn't it? It'd be right up there. You people are going to be made famous. I guarantee you, you're going to be made famous. You just wait. Trump has launched an all-out attack on the FDA. Really? Oh, no. This was last year, August 27th, 2020. Yeah. Year ago tomorrow, Trump is out there attacking the FDA. It's a political agency. It has a political appointee at the head. But it's maintained a reputation for decades of being a science-focused agency. When he was out there attacking it, in the past 2 weeks alone, the Trump administration has installed a right-wing journalist, best known for her gun rights advocacy, as the FDA's top spokesman. And he's rushing this thing through, just like he tried to rush through vaping and all that kind of thing, right? He bragged about the fact, he's now bragging about how he ordered the FDA to approve this, just like for emergency use, just like Biden has probably ordered them. I'm sure he has, or the real government, the military-industrial complex, has ordered them. But, yeah, you know, he was playing the game that, you know, they were just dragging their feet and people were dying, and it wasn't his fault. We've got to get the FDA out of the way. Marjorie Taylor Greene called the FDA approval process questionable. Oh, that's really harsh, isn't it? Really harsh. And yet, her close ally, says Forbes, Chip Roy out of Texas, the two of them have been allied in terms of fighting mask mandates. But he loves the FDA. He said the FDA sped it up. She said the FDA sped it up. I wonder, was it Joe Biden himself making that call? Well, why did she not ask that question about Trump speeding it up? And I'm sure it was. But Chip Roy said the problem with the FDA is that they've taken too long to do this. See? Typical Republican. It's time for the GOP to dole out some tough love on vaccines, says the Washington Post. Listen to the venom that this shill at the Washington Post, and I don't have it print out here who actually wrote this for the Washington Post. They say, a year and a half into the pandemic, 40% of eligible Americans aren't fully vaccinated. And while public health officials have begged the uninoculated to get shots, many ambitious Republicans and right-wing news personalities have perplexingly refused to do so. So, if I tell you that you ought to be suspicious of this whole pandemic, and especially this vaccine, it's perplexing. And I am, as they point out, instead right-wing demagogues, see, I'm a right-wing demagogue, have indulged their followers in most infantile fantasies about freedom. Though I don't have any fantasies about freedom, says the Washington Post. They said that apparently includes the freedom to infect and potentially kill other people, just like the psychologist I was talking about yesterday, the young child who comes in and he's so afraid to take off his mask. The doctor says, oh, it's okay, you can take off your mask. No, I might catch something, or I might kill my mommy with COVID. COVID is everywhere. This is what the Washington Post is doing. The kind of fear that's been instilled in young children, that's what the Washington Post is engaging in. They're engaging in demagoguery. They're engaging in demagoguery for their own political agenda. Now, this is not science. This is slavishly following people in authority, and then slapping down anybody who criticizes it, demonizing them. Understand what we're looking at here is a combination of demagoguery and the kind of yellow journalism, the kind of jingoistic journalism that is always used to get people involved in a war. And this is a war. It began with economic sanctions, and this is a war. This is a war against the people of every country by their own governments. And this war, as most wars, are sold by the mainstream press. They go on to say, eager to feed their followers snake oil cures. Fox News hosts such as Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, political figures such as Ron Johnson, the honest guy, who said what I just read to you, have lately urged their followers to take ivermectin instead of getting vaccinated. Now, is anybody making millions, billions, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars off of ivermectin? No. Is it helping these people to take this position? No. Anybody who stands up and talks about this, just like Dr. Mark McDonald yesterday, he talked about psychological damage being done to children, and now they're trying to destroy his life. Talk to RFK Jr. about that. Talk to Del Bigtree. Talk to anybody. Talk to me about it. Anybody that takes this position and we're not doing it for money. There is no benefit to us taking this position. The powerful people want to destroy you if you take this position. It's the Washington Post that is sucking up and selling snake oil, and they project that onto other people. So they say they want you to take ivermectin instead of getting vaccinated. Ivermectin, a drug primarily used to treat parasites in livestock to deworm horses. Well, they don't say that it was developed by Merck, and you've had over a billion human doses put out there for a lot of other things. This just happens to be an off-label use for a drug that's been around for 60 years. That happens all the time. Happens all the time. What are they selling? It's just disgusting to watch these people. CNN says that Trump wants his supporters to die. But, of course, they did that after he said take the vaccines. They're saying he's not doing enough because he didn't encourage them enough. He wants them to die. The GOP's big government lie is exposed, says Salon, left-wing magazine. Republicans rush to squash local control in a fight against COVID. Again, notice how they flip the narrative around. Washington Post and the establishment media pushing these vaccines that they ought to be embarrassed about the amount of money that has been injected into these companies. Nine billionaires created in the last year, individual billionaires created. They've pumped so much money into these few companies. And yet people who are selling something that has a course of treatment might cost $5. We're accused of trying to make money off of this. And I'm not selling it. I'm not even selling that. And then when we talk about stopping mandates and stopping the process that's going to turn everything that we do in our life into a government-granted privilege, we're supposedly squashing local control. You know what we're squashing, trying to squash? We're trying to squash local control of people. Local control of people. And so Salon, left wing, comes out and says, not too long ago, there was a time when Republicans insisted that they were against big government and wanted to push it down so much as possible to local control. Well, you know, local control isn't necessarily the solution. As I've said many times, a local government can make things worse or better. But it is more controllable than the state government, more controllable than the federal government. Doesn't mean that it's controllable, but it is more controllable than those entities. So a local government, if it's good, can make things a lot better for you than if you were at the state or the federal level. You get a good sheriff, you get a good mayor. That's why I've talked to Sheriff Hathaway in the past. You get somebody who's not going to mandate stuff on you and not going to, you know, be the boots on the ground for this kind of tyrannical stuff. You want people like that at local level. But what these people are trying to do is they're trying to do a top-down forcing of population control in every sense of the word. And so they invert it by saying, oh, the GOP used to be against big government, but now they want to stop people who are trying to take away your individual liberty and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Tennessee Republicans take sides in the COVID debate as doctors struggle to be heard. Poor doctors, right? Except we've also got Democrat politicians who are dictating to doctors and to nurses what kind of health care they need to have. It's like, who made you a doctor? Where'd you get your degree in all of this? And in this article coming out of an establishment press in Nashville, Tennessee, of all things, they go back to this thoroughly discredited liar who tried to mandate vaccines on young children in defiance of their parents and got fired. And then as a result, she claimed that she had a threat. Somebody sent her a muzzle. And when they did an investigation, the state investigation agency looked at it, they found out that she had bought that and sent that to herself. She set up another Amazon account so they wouldn't know it was her, but she used the same credit card. And so she sent herself a muzzle. She did a false flag lie after she tried to push the idea that they could vaccinate kids at school in Tennessee without their parents' knowledge or wishes. And so this is the person that the news organization in Tennessee goes to, the thoroughly discredited, lying criminal. One group is warning school systems not to impose mask requirements on children returning to school, while another is now telling their followers that getting vaccinated is the right thing to do. And this is the way the Republicans are set up, right? So you got some Republicans who are opposing mask mandates, and other ones are telling people to get vaccinated. And that's basically what we're seeing in the Republican Party in every state. And it's what we're seeing in other governments around the world. On the House side, 12 conservative Republicans just sent a letter to every one of Tennessee's school systems warning them not to require face masks or proof of vaccination. And they said, for the doctors on the forefront of this, it's very frustrating. These poor doctors are being told what they can and cannot. No, they're telling you can't mandate stuff. They're not telling you can't wear a mask. If you want to wear a mask, fine. But you can't force people to wear a mask. If you want to get a vaccine, get a vaccine. They're saying you can't force people to get a vaccine. They turn it exactly the other way around. And then they're saying these politicians are telling the doctors they can't force people to do stuff. And yet it's politicians who are forcing doctors who don't want the vaccine to get the vaccine. And so then they go to Michelle Fiscus. This is this lying public health official in Tennessee who tried to, you know, force this on kids and set up the false flag attack on herself. They actually don't mention any of that. She says, I don't want to change the oil in my car because I'm not trained to do that. She's evidently trained on how to do PR and how to lie effectively to people, which is why she sent a muzzle to herself. Yet, in these cases where we're really talking about life and death, some legislators have no qualms about publicly expressing their opinions about how people should be treated medically. Isn't that practicing without a license? We're not supposed to have an opinion. See, people like Michelle Fiscus, who don't want parents to have a say in this, who lies and says that she's being attacked and threatened, and she supports mandates on doctors by politicians, by bureaucrats like her. She turns this all around and says, isn't this practicing medicine without a license? Well, guess what, Michelle? You're not my doctor. Many parents in Tennessee said, you're not the doctor of these children either, so you need to butt out of our lives. You need to butt out of the lives of doctors and nurses who don't want this vaccine. She said one of the legislators even suggested some remedies that, in her opinion, were just as good as vaccines. Well, a vaccine's not a remedy. Is it? It's not a remedy. A remedy is something like a therapeutic. It makes you better if you get it. So this Republican was saying, you know, you got vitamin D3, you got zinc, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. There are many other things available that people are choosing to use other than the shot. And then this lying former bureaucrat, Michelle Fiscus, says she's willing to accept non-FDA-approved treatments that have been shown to not be effective. See, she just continues to lie. She should wear that muzzle. Somebody should put that muzzle she bought for herself on her. But they will object to a vaccine that's been used in hundreds of millions of people and approved by the FDA. Spoken like a true bureaucrat, right? So the full FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine has now opened the door for vaccine mandates in Texas. Abbott's not doing anything. The legislature's not in session. It's on. You've already got San Antonio school officials and many others are pushing it. As a matter of fact, Lieutenant Governor here, Dan Patrick, a guy who, thanks to Mark Hall's documentary about schools and what's happening with Fethullah Gulen. I'm trying to think. What's the name of the documentary, Travis? Killing Ed. Thank you. I don't know why I lost the name of it. Killing Ed. And you can see that in a lot of different places. You can stream it with commercials in some places. You can also order it on Amazon. But it tells you worst-case scenario of what happens with charter schools. And at the epicenter of that corrupt scenario, somebody who sold himself out to this Islamic guru, Fethullah Gulen, brought to this country and protected by the CIA. At the heart of all that is this grifter, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and he's out there saying, well, Democrats have a bigger vaccine hesitancy problem than I do. I love them better than the Democrats do. And then there's Idaho Governor Brad Little, who we've talked about. He says school is now going to depend on the COVID vaccine. Finally, I'll just say all of these Republicans who don't want to fight for our freedom. Nancy Pelosi has now said this so-called approval by the fraudulent declaration of authorization by the FDA. This approval of the Pfizer shot may prompt vaccine mandates for lawmakers. I said it with President Trump and First Amendment rights. If you don't stand up for other people's freedoms, you're not going to have it either. You know, the one thing you can't have unless you give it away is freedom. And that's especially true of these politicians. And so what goes around comes around. President Trump and the Republicans don't want to stand up for our ability to speak freely in the public square. They get kicked out too. They don't want to stand up for our health choices and our informed consent. They'll have theirs taken away as well. And they certainly deserve it. We'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, I've got a couple of letters here. This one in particular I liked. this is coming from Mike. He said, a friend emailed me this hypothetical conversation with a restaurant server, author unknown. Conversation to take place at a restaurant soon. Hello, hi, table for two, please. Sure. And your name? Shannon. Great. And do you and your guest have your vaccination cards with you? We do. Can you tell us who our server will be? Looks like Brad will be your server tonight. Great. Can you show us Brad's vaccination card? And also, can you provide me with proof that Brad is not a carrier of HIV, hepatitis A, or hepatitis B, or any other communicable diseases? Also, we would prefer not to be served by someone who is on or uses recreational drugs such as marijuana, cocaine, meth, fentanyl, etc. So, if you could provide us with Brad's most recent tox screen, that would be great. Let me get the manager for you. Oh, that'd be great. Thank you very much. We're going to have that conversation with people. Yeah, show me your show me your ID. Show me your health certificate. Show me that you've lived a perfectly healthy life. It's unbelievable that we're allowing, that we're even having this discussion. And again, we're at the point now where we just need to say, you know what, we're not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Update from Melbourne, from a listener there, Peggy. She said, the situation in Melbourne is terrible. As you know, most places will not allow you access without checking that you have a QR code before you enter. Most supermarkets have guards at the door to keep you from going in if you don't have your QR code. There's only a few places where the people know me that I'm able to shop. But even in those instances, the likelihood of being accosted by very stressed out, anxious, and aggressive shoppers is very high. Because they're buying into this. And they're going to be the little enforcers out there. Everybody wants to be a hall monitor now. The checkout told me that there are regular fights inside this market. Usually, a masked Nazi gets upset and accosts somebody without a mask. Prices have gone through the roof. Mail is now sporadic. Almost everyone complies with wearing a mask outside, so it is very unpleasant to be outside. And it's very depressing. Many are at D-Day, or in this case, V-Day, for being vaxxed to keep their jobs. Peggy. See, this is where we are. They're doing everything they can to destroy our society. When you look at this and you say, this makes absolutely no sense. Just like for years, people have been looking at the educational system and saying, this makes absolutely no sense. What they're doing here is they're making kids, they're deliberately dumbing them down. That's by design. You look at what's going on in Afghanistan. That makes absolutely no sense. How can people be that incompetent? It's by design. They know, people are telling them, you can't do that. That doesn't work. They're going to continue on with that course. And every single country around the world, regardless of the political label, regardless of the individuals, they're all doing this. As we can all see, there is no pandemic. They have created a chaos and lockdown and situations in the hospital, all created by them. And yet they continue. And so we see in Washington State, the high school is getting criticized because they've asked students to wear ankle monitors. It's not because they're on probation. It's not because they've turned the entire world into a prison running on probation. Except that it is, right? Just as I began the program today, talking about these prisoners. Hey, you get the vaccine, we'll give you 10 packets. 10, count them, 10. Of noodles, ramen noodles. Of course, you're still going to be in prison. You can get your vaccine, but they're still going to imprison your face with a mask. Getting you accustomed. They're training you. I mean, this is beyond freedom and dignity. This is the way we train animals. Gradually, long repetition. Long beating people down. Taking away your will to resist. That is what this is all about. Eaton High School has received backlash after implementing a measure in which student-athletes have to wear ankle monitors to trace COVID cases. Parents and social media liken the device to the monitors being used by offenders under house arrest. Ankle monitors are for criminals, not our children. So are masks. So are forced injections. So is incarceration and quarantine without somebody being sick. None of this has anything to do with our society. It's at the point now where we need to understand why we're doing this and why we fight, but it's time to fight. We cannot continue to comply with this. We must resist this peacefully, preferably do it peacefully, refuse to live their life, and we need to hang together. We need to create our parallel societies, but whatever you do, do not cooperate with this. The proximity trace is a little black box that you put on your ankle, just like they do for tracking people who are on probation, because we are on probation. That's what I said. They ease this up, they shut it down. They ease it up, they shut it down. We were just on probation this last summer. They give us a little bit. They ease up the pressure. When you have between a half million and a million people push back in London, you have Bojo's. Oh, we'll have a day of freedom, a freedom day. And he literally meant that it was going to be a day, because before the day was out, he started talking about the next set of rules that they were going to be imposing on people. One person says, commenting on this is ridiculous. It's like you're shaming the students. This is exactly what it is. If this isn't a form of bullying, I don't know what is. Isn't that interesting? All the people are so obsessed about bullying and hate crimes, teaching people to hate you because you're not vaccinated, teaching people to hate you because of your skin color, bullying everybody into submission. No therapeutics will be allowed. We're going to pretend that there's no such thing as a natural immune system, even though that's always been the purpose of a vaccine, to train your natural immune system. So we're going to punish anybody, not just shame them, but bully them if they even prescribe a therapeutic that's been shown to work. The only students have to wear the monitors have not had the COVID vaccine yet. Kids have enough stress these days. Another person replied and says, if parents let this happen, they're idiots. Yeah, I agree, said one. Some of this stuff is getting New World Order-ish, and if anything, it's intrusive, it's overbearing, and it's overreaching. One of them finishes up and says, over my dead body, my kids do not participate and very well may take them out of school and do online schooling. If I had kids in that school, ankle monitors are for criminals, not children. What does it take for you to get your kids out of this system? What does it take? Again, from Mississippi, Republican Mississippi, to Oregon, mandating again outdoor masks, and not only outdoor masks everywhere for everybody, but even for the vaccinated. As in Mississippi, if you do not follow the mandates for them after you've gotten a positive test, you can get 10 days or face a $5,000 fine, and you can go up to 5 years in jail. 5 years in jail. When we look at what is happening, for example, with the masks, I like this article from the Babylon Bee. 8 other things you could do rather than mask mandates if you really hate your kids. You could put an ankle bracelet on them too, right? You could replace instead the chocolate chips and cookies with raisins. You could rack up the national debt with trillions of dollars in new spending. Hey, kids, I'm taking out a loan. I'll be dead when it comes due, so it's up to you. Hope you weren't planning on owning a house. You could get clowns and scare them. Everybody's scared of clowns, they say. You could enforce strict commercial regulations on lemonade stands. Well, they've been doing that for a few years, actually, in some places. Or you could tell them that doomsday scenario from climate change is now unstoppable, and it's all science, kids, so just give up, right? That was what they were always scaring kids to death about. It's all just fear porn that they're exercising on people for control. And so yet again, just like we saw with so many of these elitists, we've seen it with Justin Trudeau, we've seen it with Gavin Newsom, we see it now with Nancy Pelosi, yet again, we'd already seen it with her once, with a hairdresser. Now, she's at a large affair, and they have a lot of people at the dinner table. Nobody is wearing a mask. She's not wearing a mask, but she's still requiring it in the house. Isn't that interesting? As Tucker Carlson said, it's a clear window into the society that they're trying to build. Everybody, all the elitists at this diverse Democrat fundraiser, everybody in attendance appear to be unmasked, except for some faceless brown serfs serving all the liberal swells, is what Tucker Carlson said. Yeah, that's why I thought it was very interesting to see what this consummate globalist salesman, Elon Musk, was doing with his little dog and pony show. Somebody dressed up and pretending like they're a robot and then breaking into a song and dance vaudeville act. But that robot was, quote-unquote robot, was in white leotards. But from the shoulder up, it was all black and faceless. I thought, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. Black, brown and faceless serfs to serve you. Yeah, because, you know, the name of a robot is a Czech word for slave. Authorities are so dictatorial about the rules, in fact, that a San Francisco health agent shot a man who refused to mask up and hit two bystanders nearby. But, you know, for Nancy Pelosi, not a problem at all. College presidents also, as they're imposing all kinds of restrictions on kids who have invested a lot of time and a lot of money in their education, and now they can just write that off if they're not going to finish it up at that school. And, of course, if they can find a school that will give them a degree without putting that kind of nonsense on them. College presidents, four colleges in Southern Virginia, went to a maskless indoor meeting on August the 10th, just after announcing indoor mask mandates for their respective students and faculty. Like I was pointing out earlier in the program, Quinnipiac put out a poll saying everybody likes masks. We're going to do masks. In Florida, 60% of the people want masks. Well, that may be true, or they may be rigging it, because Quinnipiac is going to fine students who aren't vaccinated up to $2,275. They're going to cut off their internet access and everything else. And here are these presidents here: James Madison University, Eastern Mennonite University, Bridgewater College, Blue Ridge Community College, speaking to each other indoors in close proximity without masks, while they are going to be requiring mask mandates for all their students and faculty, even if they are vaccinated. Biden teases legal action against governors who ban school mask mandates. He says, unfortunately, you've been throughout this pandemic. We've got some politicians who are trying to turn public safety measures, that is, children wearing masks in school. That's never been a public safety measure. Kids who are no threat to themselves and vaccinated people who carry the viral load, not the same, but as Oxford University, as I pointed out yesterday, Oxford University, the people who created the AstraZeneca vaccine, conducted a test in a Vietnam hospital system. They followed several thousand people there, and they found the people who were fully vaccinated had a viral load, a nasal viral load, that was 251 times greater than the unvaccinated. The reason they gave for it was they said, well, people who have this are going to be asymptomatic, and it will build and build, and so, but they're actually super spreaders. And that's exactly what you want to have in the hospital, right? It's exactly the opposite of why they're telling people you can't stay, you can't be a health worker, you can't work in an old folks home, you can't work in a hospital, you're going to have to be vaccinated because the vaccine is going to stop you from spreading it. Well, we know that's not true. And now we know that it is exactly the opposite, that there are bigger spreaders, according to the people who created the AstraZeneca vaccine. But Biden says the same tact that the Washington Post said, that you know, they're trying to turn this into the political game. Of course, he's not, is he? We're not going to sit by as governors try to block and intimidate educators protecting our children. Are they really protecting the children? DeSantis hit back at Biden. He said Biden has an obsession with forcing young children to wear masks, while Afghanistan falls to the Taliban on his watch, leaving thousands of Americans stranded in the country now run by radical Islamic terrorists. He said, in Florida, we want to make sure that we're standing by our parents. Biden, on the other hand, for political gain, would like to stand by the teachers' unions. Robert Dingwall, we need to hold advocates of mask mandates to account. He's a professor at Nottingham Trent University, a leading sociologist. And he said the imposition of mask mandates, given the paucity of evidence that masks interrupt transmission and the lack of any robust evaluation on the harms masks cause, he said we need to hold these people accountable. Look, the time for discussing the science, and I've done this over and over again, and I've given you study after study about masks, how ineffective they are, study after study about ivermectin. The time for this kind of discussion is done. This is a political liberty issue now. Now that's come down to mandates being coerced through corporations. We need to understand how the government runs this thing by bribing people, how they run this thing by using corporate coercion, and how the government refuses to obey any Constitution, Bill of Rights, law, or even their own regulations, as we've seen with the FDA. That's it for today's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.